Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Wednesday, July 15th, 2020. Thank you for joining me today. Got a lot of clips up today. I've been really trying to get those out and have been falling behind with new things that pop up. So hopefully those out there that have been waiting for those short clips of previous shows, there's a lot of them out there today. Interestingly enough, and I don't know whether this is just a glitch, but it always could be. My last clip I was going to put up today was about masks. It was a compilation, or rather, the part that I put together in one of the recent shows that everybody thought was just a knock out of the park with all the good information. And I was trying to put it up, and every other one went through. And some reason, I kept getting an error from YouTube, and I couldn't get that video up. Who knows? Interestingly enough, Ben Swan did a fantastic video today, which we're going to start off early in the show today, basically saying exactly what we've been talking about, which is fantastic, with some new information as well. I mean, really showing you most of the same studies that I've been showing you this entire time. But hopefully with Ben Swan, it can really reach some more people. And this is a really powerful thing. And his title in the video is Masks Don't Protect You. I mean, even I have been saying, well, look, you just make your own decision. Here's the information. He is just coming right out and saying, look, this is reality. Here is the science they keep telling you they're pointing to. So for all those that are right now screaming about how we're fake news and it's irresponsible to even say such a thing, hopefully you'll actually stay tuned until we get to the research and the information so you can decide for yourself. Otherwise, you're going to be exactly what Ben Swan says you are, which by just leaving and not paying attention. And we're going to go over most of his video because it really was a slam dunk. It's a really, really well done video and not even that long, right? I mean, that's where we end up losing people is having a very long show, lots of information. Hard to pick out that one point that really drives it home. But there's a lot of other things we're going to get into. One very interesting thing to start off today, but a lot more about vaccines as well, about the two-party push around all of it, and how both Trump's administration and whoever else you want to point to on the left, in within all that two-party illusion that it is, are all driving these things together. Very alarming stuff. And some more insight into, let's just call them health professionals, experts, however you want to look at it, speaking out. Telling you that this is not what it seems. But of course, that one's fake news by default, right? Because they're saying the thing they're not supposed to say. Who cares about their credentials and their research and the data they're trying to shove in your face? This guy's test to be lies. You know, I know I'm being facetious and I know all of you here, hopefully most of you don't think that way. At least you're willing to consider the information before reflexively dismissing it. I wasn't even going to note on this until later, but he points out in the chat, yes, I am wearing my baseball T-Lab tee under here and a short, you know, half sleeve, really cool shirt. I just felt like rocking this one today under the coat, but there's a lot of really great shirts on there for Question Everything and as well as other things on Truth Clothing. I hope you guys will go check it out as always. All the links are in the show notes. All the links I cover today for those that are new, as always, will be in the link in the show notes, which takes you to the article where all the links are posted. And the only reason it's like that is because YouTube has been censoring based off posted links. Now, a lot to cover today. Probably will be long, as well as some U.S. foreign policy to end with. But I'm going to go into it deep today in regard to Yemen. Because you may know, and I'll just jump the gun a little bit here, and they just pulled Saudi Arabia off the list from the U.N. from places that kill children. Right. They just removed them from the list and then they went on to kill seven children. That's the reality. We're going to talk about it today. Guess what? You don't not hearing that in the mainstream media. Ask yourself why that is. 100% accurate. By the way, they've been killing children over there. The U.S. coalition led by the Saudis have been killing children on a routine basis. This is something we should be outraged about, but it's getting buried even more so than it usually does. But we're going to get to all of this today. I want to start with something that I think is very, very relevant and something we've been pointing to throughout this whole thing, throughout this whole event. As I've actually been calling it from the beginning because what, you know, the COVID event, right? Because there's so many varying opinions and rightly so. This is from the Foundation of Economic Education. Three states account for 42% of all COVID-19 deaths in America. Now that, of course, is ignoring for the minute the fact that we know as a matter of fact, because the CDC and numerous other groups have admitted it, the death numbers are not accurate. You can argue about how accurate or how inaccurate, but they are not accurate. They're conflating antibody tests and they're manipulating probable cases. So when those people die, if they do, they get counted as a COVID death. So you can argue it's 1%. I'm not going to even get into that. The point is it is inaccurate. That's a fact. They've admitted to it. So putting that aside, Three states account for 42%. We heard this at a little higher percentage in the during the middle of this. Now, with more information, 42%. Three places. So first of all, this should be immediately make you realize, okay, if almost half of all the deaths are taking place in only three states, doesn't that immediately mean that the rest of the states have a wildly lower death rate? Yes, it does. But they won't get into that because all they want to do is give you the broad picture for the whole country so they can even all that out and make it look like everywhere is dealing with the same thing because they have to make this apply to everyone or their plan doesn't work. Which you'll see happens in all of their arguments today. Well, the masks doesn't work unless you all wear them. Or the vaccines doesn't happen. We only get herd immunity unless you all get it, right? It's weird how that all seems to be the same thing. It's the same argument all across the board. But what stood out to me more than all of that is where these places are. It says, despite the recent coronavirus surge in southern states, and of course, this is they just leave out cases because that's what it is. And I argue that's not even a foundation of economic education since they do some good work. Doesn't mean you should believe anything from anybody. But the point is, I just find it interesting. Even they left out cases. It's been a surge in cases. That's it. In fact, today, the deaths are down. Again, like a little bit increase, then it went down again. So even then, that doesn't amount to their spike they're telling you is going to be coming behind the cases, which we know those cases are inaccurate because we just told you they're admitted that they're inflating those numbers for your safety, of course. But then turning around and using those inaccurate numbers to remove things from you. Not okay. But where are these places, right? For those on the podcast, well, actually, speaking of that, for those that are hopefully still downloading the podcast, which you can still do from my website until we figure out why GoDaddy is seemingly blocking my podcast from playing everywhere else, that will probably be rectified once we get to our isolated, dedicated server, but I digress. But for those listening only, New York, New Jersey, and Massachusetts account for 42% of COVID-19 deaths in America. New York, New Jersey, and Massachusetts. Well, let's look at a map real quick. Let's take a look at where that is and what that kind of means. Okay, so here's the map. Where that purple pin is, well, you might have guessed it. That's where Fort Detrick is, Maryland. Okay, well, we're talking about three places, which happen to be damn near right next to Fort, well, let's next to Maryland in the context of the country, right? So I just found that to be very interesting. And hopefully those of you that have watched previous shows and understand why that is relevant, the idea that Fort Detrick had one leak every 3 days for 7 years, that's directly from the CDC, that's from their information. They've admitted to that. We're talking leaks of things like, you know, they have Ebola, they have coronaviruses they work on there, which is the main point. They had a leak right before all this started. Verifiably so. The CDC shut down Fort Detrick in Maryland, which is a BSL-4 lab. It works on coronaviruses. In fact, it's one of the groups working in tandem with the Wuhan lab. But ask yourself, if you don't know this, why none of this is ever brought up? It had a leak, which means they had a containment issue of some kind of a virus that they shut down immediately and then said it was national security. And we couldn't tell us any more information. And then they went on to have a bunch of weird outbreaks all around Maryland, right? They had all these weird clusters of vaping illness on one side, they said was because of THC, fake THC in vaping, when they never proved that, which is very convenient, even though all of them had the same exact, very rare, now we're being told, ground glass opacity in the lungs, which they said was only COVID-19 when this first started. And then the other side, there was a bunch of nursing homes, doesn't that seem relevant, who all had a very severe cold outbreak and also had the exact same ground glass opacity in the lungs. But let's forget all of that and forget all that foreign countries were also reaching out and saying, hey, right when they started, that's probably COVID-19. They shut them down, right? All this is very easy to look up and I've covered it all on this show. I mean, I might as well just show you two things since we're talking about this. One, which I forgot to play the other day in regard to this topic, the information. Or rather, first of all, just the quick Fort Detrick opening that I've been playing for those that might not have seen that in the past.
We have over 1,300 documented cancer victims right now, just in a 1 mile radius. I'll be quite honest with you, it's changed my life so radically. Sometimes I don't even know who I am.
1,300 people in a 1 mile radius. And what's causing so much sickness? It turns out, all these victims have one thing in common. They live next to a military base called Fort Detrick.
Right. Now, that's just one small clip of that I've played before. Now, this is something that's undeniable. The people all around this, every single person on every street around this has cancer. I mean, the video I've shown you numerous times. But let's pretend like that means nothing, right? Because there's so many examples of this happening around U.S. bases all around the world, and we just ignore those too. But knowing now that we have this happening, and 40, almost 50% of all the deaths happen to be very close to this location, I don't know why that's not relevant. Seems pretty crazy to realize. But keeping that in mind, let's move forward into more information. But I really want to resonate with people before they move forward is the idea that how in the world this can be as deadly if almost half of all of them are only in three locations, especially when we know that places like California, at least we're told, are also severe. Pretty interesting, wouldn't you say? Well, moving on to another topic to start off today that I think is incredibly important for that exact same idea. Whether we're talking about the manipulation of this whole topic or we're talking about the foreknowledge of it before we got there, all of this leads back to the same people. And all of it leads back to lies, deceptions. How, I mean, you can call them, like, especially in this case, this is being played off as just, you know, a little lie of circumstance. You know, it's a convenient lie. Like, the idea that BlackRock created a plan to bail out the U.S. economy that we were sold as because of coronavirus that you later find out they created before this whole thing started. Oh, but aren't we told that this whole problem with the economy was only because of coronavirus? So then why did they make a plan to bail out the economy before we got here? Well, we also should know that the economy's already been in a bad way, and we've all known this was coming. Anyone that's been paying attention all the way before this, what happened was COVID-19 just gave them the excuse to sell you the plan and then say, well, it was COVID, it's not our fault, as opposed to here's 2008 all over again times 10, and it's going to come from your pockets again. Well, that's what this is. Now, I'm going to play this video. I want you guys, I'm going to play it and stop and talk in little parts because I want to play the good portion of it. And I want to get with a copyright strike. So we're going to play this and I really want you guys to absorb this information because this is absolutely paramount. And this, again, if you've been watching the shows that we've been doing, then you would have already seen this stuff because most of this we've already covered.
The country is distracted by coronavirus and numerous ongoing protests. Another too-big-to-fail asset manager, which handles over $7 trillion in direct management and another $20 trillion through their proprietary software, BlackRock, is coming under scrutiny by one investigative author, and she's calling for them to be broken up under antitrust laws. Ellen Brown is an...
Now, what's interesting right off the bat is remember James Corbett's discussion in regard to Standard Oil, Rockefellers, the idea that the breaking up of Standard Oil was the plan, right? That was the point, that they tricked everyone into thinking that this was something that they didn't want. Problem, reaction, solution. So then they pleaded with the government, you can't allow this. And then they did exactly what they planned from the beginning, right? So they tricked them into asking for the thing that they wanted. And the solution was ready the whole time, which was the breakup of Standard Oil, which immediately made Rockefeller the richest person in the world instantaneously. And we see what happened from there.
Attorney and author of numerous books focused on the financial sector, and she's the founder of the Public Banking Institute. Ellen, thank you for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you.
So you have recently written a scathing deep dive into this asset management company called BlackRock, which most people have probably never heard of. Given their size, how have they gone almost completely undetected by the public, unlike companies like Goldman Sachs and the like? And what sparked your recent write-up on them?
Well, they were just appointed in March to administer as much as $1 trillion of the Federal Reserve's bailout money, that money that's allocated to purchase corporate debt. So this is basically toxic corporate debt, like happened in 2008 when the Federal Reserve bailed out Bear Stearns and AIG by buying toxic debt off their books. And BlackRock was set up then to manage those sales. And so,
which we've talked about the last time we talked about this, right? That BlackRock was involved in 2008. Again, in the same exact way, they were brought in to manage. I mean, basically, to make this very simple, they were the facilitator between the transfer of wealth between you and the people it went to. That's what this basically boils down to. Now, that's not exactly what their job is or what their job actually is, but this is what it boils down to. Right now, it's the same thing. We're talking about when she says toxic assets, this is the situation that's created by the people playing, gambling with your money, whether we're talking specifically the banks in this case, but we're talking about groups like BlackRock and the asset managers and these groups that are manipulating the situation, right? So 2008 happened, we know, largely because of the loans, right? It was, I'm forgetting the exact term. Anyway, it was in regard to, you know, basically anybody could go in with basically nothing and get a loan for a massive house, right? And this was done then they would package those things as if they were not that bad in a big group and then sell them off to other groups, right? And just, I know this gets complicated for people, but the ultimate point is that it creates a situation that's guaranteed to fail. And that's where we are again. Or actually, that's where we were before this started. And they brought in BlackRock again. For the same exact situation, and they planned it this time. They probably planned it last time. My point is they had this plan before COVID started. Now, just keep listening, because she makes incredible points here.
That's one reason they got the job, but this was like a no-bid contract to deal with a lot more money, in this case, up to $1 trillion, and the BlackRock's...
Meaning this is more, way more than 2008. And as she said, no bid, which I already pointed out before. Right, that we're no longer in control of the asset of the treasury, essentially, in this country. That's what this boils down to.
Main business is exchange traded funds, or that's their main profit maker right now, and they are the biggest exchange traded fund manager in the world. They and two others are the three big ones, and they have a controlling interest in every single big corporation in the country.
Every single big corporation in the country. A controlling... Think about what she just said. By the way, thank you, subprime. I couldn't remember that. Subprime mortgages is what we were talking about. And by the way, we also had that boiling up again in regard to subprime auto loans. It's like, they literally did not do anything different. We gave our money so they could bail out these massive banking institutions, and all they did was pay themselves bonuses. We all know the story. But the worst part is they didn't even stop what they were doing. And you can look right now, ever since 2008, they not only didn't stop, they've been doing what they did to create 2008 times 10. And that's why we're here again. Except this time they fooled you into thinking it's your fault. Or at very least, China's fault or a virus's fault, right? The reality is, well, you guys just won't let yourselves get better, so you're going to keep being locked down. You're not doing what you're told. You're not taking the vaccine. You're not wearing your mask. And now this is where we are. It's all a big illusion, at least in this one regard, to take more wealth from you and transfer it to them, right? This is a huge part of this. You know what? Maybe even the whole point. But we always have to remember that there's multifaceted agendas. You know, we're talking about the technocratic idea. We've got the vaccine issue. We've got just profit in general. I mean, but at the end of the day, literally having a group like this, BlackRock, which is an obviously Israeli tied company, that's just like all the rest of them tied to the Israeli government. We're talking about all these different companies recently that are, you know, surveilling the United States, creating voting machines and voting software, all of them tied back to Israeli government intelligence. Well, okay, well, now we've got a company that essentially is using the financial institution to take control of this country's finances. You're telling me you wouldn't create a fake pandemic to create the largest transfer of wealth in history and essentially take control of another country's driving force? Yeah, that pretty much sums it up to make a perfect... Look, if that was all it was, that would make sense to me. But that's just my take on it. But at the end of the day, this is what's happening. The nuance of it, you can argue about why BlackRock did it or whether it's a good thing, but that is what's happening.
And so, and exchange traded funds they are invested in by pension funds and other funds, and the funds generally control the stock market. So in effect, BlackRock controls the stock market. And the first thing they did with this power was...
Again, and I flipped past that point a second ago. They have controlling interest in almost in every large company in this country, as she says. And they have control over the stock market, in effect. I mean, how is this not the most alarming thing you've heard? This is absolutely crazy, and no one's talking about it. I mean, I talked about this a month ago. And I followed up again. I mean, we've been trying to get people to talk about this for a long time. It's good that some people are paying attention, but this seems to me to be the most obvious example of a profit motive. Who benefits? a massive transfer of wealth and seemingly the most control on the planet Earth.
Bail out themselves. They bought exchange-traded funds, 50% of which were owned by BlackRock. In effect, BlackRock controls the stock market. And the first thing they did with this power was to bail out themselves. They bought exchange-traded funds, 50% of which were owned by BlackRock. Hmm. So there's an obvious conflict of interest here. And the
right, bailing themselves out. A conflict of interest doesn't matter if you're the powerful, right? If you're on the good guy team, the most obvious criminal acts of all time are okay because we're good guy team, right? Conflict of interest just no longer matters. That's why you can hire Moncef Salawi from GlaxoSmithKline with Moderna stocks to be your vaccine czar. That's totally normal in the clown world we find ourselves in today. And then he goes on to sell and make $12 million. That's okay. But if Iran does it, they're enriching themselves off the people, right?
Is that they're bailing out the financial sector at the expense of the non-financial sector. So they are.
That's the main point here. Let me go back a second so you guys can hear that. This is what it really comes down to for me. And I apologize. I'm stopping because I don't want to get a copyright strike. So I am playing most of this. But the point is that we are taking the brunt. What the point of BlackRock and what they're doing in this specific situation, as she says, they're removing the financial burden from the financial district, and they're putting it upon the non-financial district. That's you. They are putting that on you, and tell me that you don't feel that. Do you think that Boeing, who got a huge, massive cash influx and then laid off 7,000 people, is having a problem at all? No, you are, and your small business. You know why? Because they took the burden from them and their bad choices, all those companies and the banks that they work with, and put it on you. Right? If that hadn't happened, do you think your small business would have closed? Maybe if you're making bad personal choices in your life, but most of you out there probably were doing just fine. And it closed because they did that to you. That has to stick with people, regardless of what political party you think you're on.
The financial sector at the expense of the invested in by pension funds and other funds, and the funds generally control the stock market. So in effect, BlackRock controls the stock market. And the first thing they did with this power was to bail out themselves. They bought exchange-traded funds, 50% of which were owned by BlackRock. So there's an obvious conflict of interest here. And the problem is that they're bailing out the financial sector at the expense of the non-financial sector. So they are feeling no pain, and all the pain is imposed on us, the people, the real economy, the consumer producer economy.
Sure.
At best, if you got a bailout, you had to go stim, or you know, you were lucky to get unemployment or to get payroll protection from your bank, and then you had to stand in line and qualify, and you know, many hoops to jump through. But BlackRock bailed itself out, no strings attached. They didn't have to go through Congress, no debate.
Didn't have to go through Congress, no debate. So I apologize for the low volume. I thought I had this up higher when I pulled it off. But it's also clipped. Her audio on the interview is actually a little choppy in and of itself. So the video link, as always, will be there for you guys to watch in full when it's done. No congressional oversight, no vote. You didn't have a say. Do you not realize how this is direct? This is not only like a tangential, this is not a side effect. This is a direct effect on your life, and you had no say in it. Does that sound like a democratic situation? Does that sound like a representative government? Or does it sound like the illusion of a representative government when they can literally pull the veil over your eyes and rob you blind and tell you it's for your own good? And if you don't comply, you're being irresponsible. That is alarming. I mean, it's across the board. Every single part of the situation, in my opinion, is that obvious and that alarming. Like, to the point to where it's a scary situation. And this is why, as Americans, we need to stand up. Absolutely. Passive, or just peaceful resistance. We will not comply. I'm sure plenty of people hate that idea and think that we should be marching through the streets with violence. That's just not my take. But you know what? We need to do something. I think we can all see that.
How they seem to have dodged any scrutiny under the Dodd-Frank legislation.
Right.
Well, the argument was that they're not a bank, which is true technically, but they're a shadow bank. They do many of the same functions as...
Remember, they're a shadow bank. And that's why they skip past the Dodd-Frank Act, right? So a shadow bank is, it's what it sounds like. You can just quickly look up shadow bank. It'll tell, right? People perceive these things as murky, right? They're kind of murky, kind of behind the scenes. They're kind of banks, but they do a lot of behind, they do things. It's like criminal activity, essentially. Even more so than you would look at a normal bank and be like, oh, banks are criminals. These are actually, they do the same things, but with less control and oversight and restrictions and regulations, right? They're the bad guys. I mean, this is alarming stuff. I mean, this is the idea, and especially when you see what they're using it to do right now in front of you and how that's directly affecting your life at your expense.
They don't leverage like 10 to 1 as a bank does to create money on its books. And they don't use depositors. They don't take deposits. They're not FDIC insured. And they say that they're just a passive asset manager, so they're not. But in fact, they vote the shares on all these stocks, and the exchange-traded funds were in trouble in March. In fact, 40% of those very volatile trades in March that were taking down the economy were exchange-traded fund trades. So they were instrumental in this market volatility and market collapse.
Now, we talked about the exchange traded, the ETFs, the exchange traded funds in one of these previous discussions. I'm not going to go into it now because people's eyes roll over when you get into the financial stuff. But just realize that this is a situation that is wildly lucrative for BlackRock at your expense using your money. The way that they just have no bid contracts, they're buying up their own debt. I mean, it's just wrong in every sense of the word, and no one is talking about it. And as she said, why is no one talking about it? Why is nobody scrutinizing the situation? Why? Well, I think you know why.
The argument that they had to bail out the exchange-traded funds to bail out the whole market. So they are obviously systemically important, systemically risky, and they should be regulated.
Now, you also say that BlackRock is exploiting the pandemic. In what ways are they doing that?
Exploiting the pandemic.
The financial crisis actually started a year ago, at least. I mean, everybody knew we were in a bubble. Stocks were...
Everybody knew, right? When they say that, they mean the people in the know, right? They mean all the people that are actually paying attention and not just mindlessly watching mainstream media. Right? Because if you're actually paying attention, they've been telling you this is happening, that we're in a really bad way. And then Trump stands up and says, look at our amazing economy and look at all the job numbers that we're tweaking every day. It's meaningless. Here we are. Right? And it's perfect because Trump doesn't have to pretend like there was an economic problem. He can pretend like it was COVID-19. Right? We had the greatest economy on earth until the virus came along. It's just simply not true. We were in a very, very bad way. And again, it's pain. This is what's so frustrating about where we are in politics today, where this can be the most basic, obvious, apparent truth. It's readily apparent. And yet we get into arguments and we are treated like even the mass discussion, which we're going to get into. The science is wildly clear, as I pointed out on the studies from the very people who are telling you the science shows you what they're saying, even though it doesn't. And yet we are the ones that are being irresponsible and we are the crazy ones. As we're waving the science and they're telling you, but look at Fox News, look at CNN. Didn't you hear Fauci on TV? It's just irrational.
All it took was a pin to break the bubble, and the central bankers were meeting in August. As they do every year in Wyoming. And the theme of it was how they had lost their tools. They had no more tools left to manage, to stimulate the economy if we went through another recession.
Okay. They had no more tools left, the central bankers. In order, basically what that means is they had no more ways to manipulate you and the system into appearing like everything was working. It was going to collapse, just like we all knew it was going to, just like anybody actually paying attention was aware of. And they then said, well, shoot, we're out of options. We're no more string and band-aids and tape and bubble wrap. It's not going to stick together anymore. This is going to fall apart. So now we need a plan. Enter BlackRock. Here's the plan. Enter COVID-19. Execute plan. That's what this is.
So BlackRock actually made a proposal that is what was done when we did have this collapse. So everybody was expecting a pin sooner or later, and the pin turned out to be the pandemic.
Yep.
So they were able to say, well, it was a pandemic, nobody expected it, and so we didn't expect to need this.
Nobody expected it, even though every other time they talk about it, well, here's Bill Gates, and here's NIH, and here's everybody everywhere who said we're going to have a pandemic in the next 4 years. But nobody expected it when they want you to hear that.
But, you know, we have to do it because we got to save the market, which is true. I mean, if the market went down, it would be like 1929. But this should be prevented ahead of time. I mean, yep. We need regulation in there that...
At the end of the day, it needs to go away, in my opinion, right? No, we should have let it collapse. Now, yes, people would have suffered, but suffering happens, right? I mean, that's the reality of life. If you put all of your eggs in one basket, well, that was your choice. Right. If the banks all collapse today, you know what? I'd be just fine because I'm not dependent on that. But that's not what I'm saying. The point is not to say it's OK that people are suffering. The point is that is the path to less suffering. Remove them, then grow into a way that we can exist without something like that. And I don't mean without finances or money or even individual banking situations. I mean, that's a discussion we could have. But the central banks, the government run manipulated situation, printing money, the Fed, this stuff needs to go away. So BlackRock in this situation, the problem is that they convince us that this is needed, even though we know, most of us, even some of us maybe kind of know, that they created this situation, or rather let it happen because it was profitable, and then created this situation to be able to, quote, solve it. I mean, look, hey, guys, welcome to the solution being worse than the problem, right? Remember that talk? Trump said, it's not going to be. When he heard us saying that, then he came out and said, don't worry, it's not going to be. Well, here we are, guys. Welcome to the solution. It's far worse than the problem, right? That's the point. This it's just so incredible to me that we can be here, we can be watching this, have such apparent, clear information. Now, look, she's just talking, right? I mean, she's just saying what she thinks. Now, all of this stuff, as I did, as you could do, is easily verifiable. But they expect you. They bank on you. Either not wanting to, caring to, or being able to. However it plays out. All of which they're actively socially engineering across all fields, whether they're making you too dumb to do it, whether they're making you too apathetic to care. It's just, this is the whole point. All that stuff's right there. And still, we're crazy for even talking about it. Or better yet, I'm racist for pointing out that it somehow has very alarming ties to a foreign government. Yeah, because that makes sense. This stuff is crazy. Now, this whole thing is something that needs to reflect on the people in charge. And it's not just Donald Trump and his administration. But yes, that is the person who is president today. So it does matter. But of course, anytime you make any kind of comment in a negative way about something they did, whether it's a Republican or Democrat, it becomes a... I mean, specifically, if I were to say Trump did this and it's wrong, oh, well, you're an anti-Trump hater. It's some people probably are, but the reality is there's no possible way to have any actual dialogue today in disagreement. They've done that on purpose. But this needs to reflect on all of them, very much so. And of course, we are seeing stuff like this as well. U.S. banking giant Goldman Sachs, quarterly profits, top estimates at $2.2 billion. Oh, isn't that fantastic? Goldman Sachs beat their estimate. They made a quarterly profit of $2.2 billion. Oh, while you can't feed your family, while your business went away. You know why they're doing so well? Because BlackRock made that the case. Because they all reached out and got them to come in. They pulled the money off. They pulled the, as she put it, they pulled the financial burden off of them and they put it on your shoulders. That is what you're staring at. That's why we're seeing companies like this make $2.2 billion in a quarter. That's why we are seeing the wealthy accumulate more wealth. I mean, how many articles have you already seen like that? Whether it's, you know, Bezos or any of these people, their wealth has exponentially increased, right? We're not seeing that as much anymore because that's far too obvious. But realize as you lost your business, you're not allowed to open another one or open that one again. You're not allowed to do anything without the authority of your leaders or your dictators at this point. Yet here's Goldman Sachs doing better than ever. I mean, Goldman Sachs of all people, for crying out loud. That should really upset some people. But here's Fauci saying, oh, well, don't worry. It's the virus surge is just because we didn't shut down completely. right? So now we need to shut down completely. Basically, and I knew there was one point that I missed on the video. She does go on to say, the whole point is that they are gobbling up all of the smaller business. That's what this comes down to. And how many times have we already said that? As all the business market opens up because nobody's doing the small businesses, who's stepping in? Well, the people who already got your money, all the big business that already got bailed out from the government in BlackRock, right? With your money. So now they're taking your money and then they're buying up your, or rather just taking your market, right? So anybody out there, whether you've got a business making t-shirts or a business selling, you know, a bar, or it doesn't matter, right? You're going to get gobbled up by the larger corporate entities because that's happening right now. Even if that's not the plan, do you really believe that these companies right now are not going to see that as an opportunity and just start buying up property and area and whatever else? Well, the point is that Fauci is also saying, well, we need to shut down completely. Why? Probably because we can finish the point. Despite the fact that it's already shown that quarantine's not the good word for it, because we are locking down healthy people, right? You are being imprisoned. That's essentially what it is. But we saw that every single place that had, or I keep saying that, the vast majority of them, bar for I think 3 or 4 of them across the country, all of them did lockdowns and then saw a dramatic spike in cases. Right before they did the lockdown, they were beginning to see a decline. Now, you can always point out that correlation is not causation. But to have that many correlations in every single location at the exact same time, with all of them having a decrease right before that, it's pretty clear to me that the lockdowns actually increased the problem. But guess what? So do the masks. We're going to get to that next. Now, all the people run fake news because that's what you've already decided. Here are the deaths, by the way, just to show you that deaths have gone down again from 5,500, and I'm not sure you can see that on your screen, but to 5,400. So a small decrease, but it's going down. The cases have gone down a little bit too. So it doesn't seem to represent what they keep telling us is going to happen, even as they try to sell us as, here it is, as experts said it would. Not really. But coming off the idea of what BlackRock is doing with your government, the Trump administration, allowing it, right? I mean, the point is that I should be able to just to say your government, because that's all that matters. Your government is allowing this to happen. But it's important to point out for the people still lost in the two-party illusion that it was the Trump administration that did it. But as I said the other day, if we could just see past the two-party illusion and start saying that we just want answers from our government, well, here's what we demand from our government. And when they start spitting at the two-party stuff, well, the Democrats won't allow us to do this. And they won't. We don't care. We voted for you guys. We want results. You'd figure it out. Right? The point is, if they use the two-party back and forth to manipulate how you perceive it, we should be demanding all of them give us what we want. They work for us. But the moment they blame the other side and it goes back and forth, well, hundreds of years later and we're still stuck in the mud, right? That's what it does. But knowing that they're gobbling up all of your market and stealing your livelihood and then giving the money to the same people in their inner circle, just like 2008, but times 10, well, as the article points out, 28 million more Americans could wind up homeless due to this pandemic. Why? Because they're just about to be evicted on top of all of that. By the way, it's already happening. We've already been pointing this out. Businesses have already been foreclosed on. People have been evicted from their homes. And this should never have been allowed to happen, especially knowing that we are put here because of lies, as well as the fact that they could have immediately given all that money to the American people. But no, they gave some of them $1,000 check. Some, not even all of them. My family still hasn't gotten one. As if that's going to, you know, do you well for 6 months. All the rest of the trillions and trillions of dollars, that all went to big business. Even the ones supposed to be for small loans we showed you too also went to big business. Yeah, that was the point. Well, now when this all begins to happen, where are these people going to go? She says, we have never seen this extent of eviction in such a truncated amount of time in our history. We can expect and understand, what does that lead to, ladies and gentlemen? Reliance and dependency on the government, which is the point. She says, we can expect this to increase dramatically in the coming weeks and months. About 10 million people over a period of years were displaced from their homes following foreclosure crisis in 2008. Well, what do you know? Look at that connection, right? All those 10 million people, they were kicked out of their home. Why? Because of the government and their lies and the fact that they ended up not doing anything but giving the people who caused the problem more money. Right? You could argue that wasn't the intention, that they just were incompetent. It boils down to they stole your money, gambling with it, and probably knowing that was going to happen, and then shorted the market and made even more money, right? And then the government gave them more of your money. Period. End of story. That's what happened. 10 million people lost their homes because of that, and BlackRock was involved then. And we're in a way worse situation now. So she says we're looking at 20 million to 28 million people in this moment between now and September facing eviction. Now, yes, we could see moratoriums on things like eviction, but I don't think that's going to happen. I've been calling for that from the beginning only because of the situation they created. And then realize what this is leading to, ladies and gentlemen. What's going to happen? Well, no one's going to have a livelihood. Even if they just suddenly started trying to create more jobs, there's no way they could just instantly make all these enough jobs to fill all these holes. So what? They're going to give you more money. Some people saying, yay, great. By the way, that's what I think should happen. But the problem is, if they just came up at a normal day before all this started and said, hey, we're going to start giving everyone money, I would have said, hell no. That's the last thing we want is more reliance on the government. But that's the point. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So look, people pretend like they don't want to be chilling out money. They don't care about money. They can print that stuff all day long. So they create a situation of absolute desperation. Why would they not be giving anybody anything? They made this whole big discussion about stimulus and all this stuff. And what happened? One check a long time ago and everything else has happened but anything for you. So now you're desperate. So they swing back around saying, well, here we are again, but don't worry. Now we're going to send a check every 2 weeks indefinitely until this goes away. That's exactly what they've wanted for a long time before this all got here. Boom, there you go. Yet another thing that happened because of this that they've wanted to do from a long time before this. The cashless society and every other thing we're going to point out today have all been things they've been trying to do for a long time. Now we've got universal basic income, just like everything else. That is what this will amount to in one of these parts, and it will happen. And it's not what you should be hoping for. Now, it goes on to say, with regard to individual state moratoriums on evictions, she says that they, as soon as they run out, because there are some in certain places, which is great, but they're not indefinite. Sheriffs are just waiting, which is crazy to think about. She says sheriffs are just waiting to execute evictions. It says the moment the moratoriums lift, all of those families will be immediately put out. And right now, 29 states lack any state-level moratorium against evictions. This should be a federal-level thing. This is the point. This should be something where they say it's in this. Here's what's so crazy. I am absolutely against, in every sense, the idea of emergency powers for any kind of authority, especially the federal government. But the situation now is because they've put us here. This is the situation. As always, then now we have to lean into it. Because the idea is that they need to do stuff like this right now. The idea that realistically, it shouldn't be happening at all. Nobody anywhere should be saying, we're going to evict you because you can't pay your rent at a time when nobody has any money. But of course, there are bad people out there. So what needs to be done is everything needs to be saying, nope, nobody can do this all across the country right now until we get back where we were. But the point is, we shouldn't be in this position to begin with because your government put us here. Now it says, they were also not coupled with financial assistance to ensure that renters don't accrue this backed up debt. So not only that, they're making right now your debts are just piling up. So even if there's a moratorium, you're going to come out of that and say, oh, well, you owe me $10,000 or whatever, $6,000, $5,000, $2,000. It's going to be too much. Do you not think that that's intentional? This is as a result, she is calling for an immediate nationwide moratorium on evictions, coupled with more financial assistance. Now, to be clear, the reason I'm saying that I don't think that should be allowed or happen, because what they're essentially doing is violating states' rights. If a federal government were to stand up and say, every state has to do this, right? In a sense, that's what that is. But in the same way, I talk about the idea of unconstitutionality. If these states are mandating masks, let's say, the president of the United States, more than anything else, his job is to uphold the Constitution. That's what our government is supposed to do. The most important thing. So now that's happening and they're creating unconstitutional situations, The president has every right to stand up and say, you can't do that and I won't allow it. Not because he has rights or control over the state or the government of the state or the simply because it's unconstitutional and he has a right to step and put that down and then back away and allow the people to continue governing themselves. But he has not done that. And I argue he won't because it's an illusion. It's the fake resistance, right? The left was the resistance up until this started. Now suddenly the right's the resistance. What do you know? It flip-flops every cell, goes back and forth, and the two-party illusion marches forward. But she says, when you consider that people are now choosing between rent and food for their families, they're also likely to be unable to pay for minutes on their phones or Wi-Fi to log into remote hearings. So she says that these video streaming hearings are also going to be a problem. Because the idea, she says, appearance itself may be challenging. And if they fail to appear, if they weren't able to dial in or they didn't have any, you know, the right link to the Zoom feed or whatever else, that's considered a failure to appear, which results in the default judgment of the property owner. So the point is that they're leaning into a situation they know most people won't be able to deal with. It's going to amount to a huge amount of evictions. But of course, we always err on the side of big business in this country, right? Because that's all that really matters. 28 million more Americans. I mean, and remember that this is all based on things that we know right now are not what we're being told. We know based on their information. Right. I mean, the only reason I'm saying no is because in regard to right now, the argument is between what they said to start and where we are now. And both of those things are coming from the government entities that they're pointing to. It's just schizophrenic. It's ridiculous. So to say we know is because we're arguing against what they said. Well, we know what they said last is that it's not that serious, but we're still locking down and we're still mandating masks. We're still forcing all of these things on everybody, which brings us to the mask point, which is a really, really important point. This is, I mean, it's so frustrating to me that we have continued to talk about this stuff. Of course, I knew that I would forget to bring up these masks studies that I wanted to have just so I could point to as we go through this. But this video that I'm about to show you from Ben Swan goes through most of these. In fact, the two key points he makes about these studies are the ones that I've been showing you this whole time. The one that shows you that fabric masks actually cause you to get more sick, as well as the fact that their studies very clearly show that they do not protect, their evidence doesn't show that they protect either way. You guys have been following the show, you know I've been saying this whole time. And not saying that this is the fact, but simply that this is what they've been showing. This is their information. So if we're going to have this debate about what's real and what's not, don't you think we should actually be able to point to their studies? Doesn't that seem a little bit ridiculous? Now that I've got them opened, let's go in and watch this. Now, I'm going to play a good middle part of this. I'll only stop a couple times, but I really want you to listen to what he's saying. And hopefully, because as I said before, Ben Swan, I guess, is even, you know, perceived. By the way, again, I have immense respect for Ben Swan. He knocked this out of the park. But people see him as a little bit quasi-mainstream because he has that kind of perception about him in well-produced videos. So fantastic. Hopefully this will reach them. Hopefully.
For the study in 2019, among 2,862 randomized participants, 2,371 completed the study and accounted for 5,180 HCW healthcare workers' seasons. Among outpatient healthcare personnel, N95 respirators versus medical masks, as worn by participants in this trial, resulted, get this, in no significant difference in the incidence of laboratory-confirmed influenza. Did you get that? In the 2019 study, there was no significant difference by wearing an N95 respirator mask. It happened again in 2020. Look at this one. A total of six RCTs involving 9,171 participants were included. There were no statistically significant differences in preventing laboratory-confirmed influenza, laboratory-confirmed respiratory viral infections, laboratory-confirmed respiratory infection, and influenza-like illness using N95 respirators and surgical masks. By the way, just to be clear, in the 2009, 2010, 2012, 2016, and 2017 studies, they all found the very same thing as the 2019 and 2020 studies.
Now, how damn ridiculous is that? What are we talking about here? Right? I mean, it's unreal. I mean, I was able to dig up four of them, or technically three. One being an OSHA document from their own page, one being the most recent CDC study, and two of them from 2015. two of which he shows you on this show, the CDC one and the one about the cloth. I'm getting to that. But the point is, all of this you can look up for yourself. 15, 16, 17, 19, 20, all of these studies, multiple studies, all of them coming to the same conclusion. There's not enough evidence to support the idea that it does anything. And yet here we are screaming about the science. Explain that to me. Explain how this could possibly be censored for pointing out the science that's actually there. That's pretty unreal. And by the way, just recognize his title, right? I mean, that's what I was pointing out before. Why face masks don't work according to the science. Now watch him get censored for pointing to the science.
Again, all of these are RTCs, randomized controlled tests.
Now that's important. Again, remember I pointed this out. I think it's trials. Random controlled trials is the gold standard. Okay, the point was that one of the main things that all the mainstream media were pointing to, right? The one obviously couched compilation study they keep pointing to and saying, see, here's why masks work. If you note all of the studies, every single one, it says clearly none of them, not a single one of the over 100 things they point to had a single random controlled trial. Why would that be? And talk about cherry picking. Even though it's that many, it's like they went out and got every single one they could that did not do what you need to do to make sure it's accurate. Think about that.
That are essentially set up to determine whether or not these N95 respirator masks help to prevent the spread of viruses in this setting. And all of these studies found that they do not statistically.
And remember, I didn't even say this before we started. And this is what's so powerful for me on this. He's talking about N95 respirators. Be very clear. I've been saying this whole time that they're conflating the idea of N95 respirators with masks, because they are. Because an N95 respirator is way different than a mask, even a surgical mask or a cloth mask. Okay, what he is talking about now is in fact N95 respirators. So not only do the masks and the cloth masks have no evidence to support the fact that they actually stop or do anything to help you, he's saying that the N95s also, the studies on those specific ones, do not have enough evidence to support that they do anything. And he's also going to point out here that not only that, that the studies also show that masks in general, when worn in this sense, actually create more possibility for infection, knowing that there's not enough science to support that they actually stop anything. The idea that you're touching it and moving it creates more contact. But we're all crazy conspiracy theorists.
They do not. Now, there's another study that was also done in 2020. It was done by a group of researchers in Hong Kong. The study was conducted just before COVID-19 hysteria took over.
Now, understand, all the people, oh, Hong Kong, of course, that's going to be part of the group, all the claims. And sure, you should be able to question it and look into it, but realize that up until this point, 15, 16, multiple 17, 18, 2 and 19, 2020, all of these studies, all of them came to the same conclusion, all of them being U.S.-based government studies. So for that, for the ones that are going to discount everything because he said the words Hong Kong, make sure you understand that.
And the results of it were released just a few weeks ago. And once again, those researchers found the very same thing, that there was, in fact, no statistical reason to believe that face masks will protect you, but improper use of a face mask actually puts you at greater risk of contamination. Look
Boom.
At this.
Look at that.
In pooled analysis, we...
And this is the study that I've been showing you for a month. Okay? Remember, we went over this entirely. The face mask part of this and everything. Right? I mean, it's just, it's amazing that this stuff can be around and we still can't see the reality. Now, again, all I've ever said was that you should have the choice. Period. Most importantly, because of this science and because of the OSHA information. But aside from that, because it's your constitutional right. And yes, that's more important than anything else.
We found no significant reduction in influenza transmission with the use of face masks. Our systematic review found no significant effect of face masks on transmission of laboratory-confirmed influenza.
So what an interesting moment. Right? So in the chat, John North says, this guy is a lunatic. Right? I mean, what's your logic, man? What logically are you missing here? Is it that I don't say what the Fox News, CNN, mainstream media talking heads say? Is it because you don't want to listen or look at the studies? Have you actually researched them and looked at the studies and the links that I have kept including? No, you probably haven't. But go ahead and just say, this guy's nuts because I'm too ignorant to take a second to look into the information. Right? I mean, you could say this is incorrect, I disagree, but to say that someone's a lunatic because you disagree makes you stupid. It literally makes you a child, an infant in regard to people around you. I mean, that's what's so problematic about where we are today, is that people will dismiss things because they don't like the fact that it challenges what they've already agreed upon in their mind. And this is exactly what Ben says. So get ready to be pointed out as another. Ben is calling you out, John, right in his video.
Proper use of face masks is essential because improper use might increase the risk for transmission. And there is more here because remember, over and over, we've been told something else that's pretty significant. We've been told that you must wear a face mask when you go out. And these N95 respirator masks are obviously the very best thing to wear, right? Which, as we're seeing, is not true because those N95 respirator masks don't really protect you from transmitting and catching a virus. However, we're also being told that if you don't have...
Now, again, before he even gets to the next point, there is nothing anywhere that challenges what he just said. There is not evidence that has ever been found that these things, in fact, stop either way from the patient or the person wearing the mask, or, you know, either way. It does not. Now, as he will point out in the end of the video here, the point is that if you want to show me the study that shows that there is science that supports that it has an effect in stopping the transmission of a disease, then show us. You won't find it, because all you'll find is studies that verify that, yes, a piece of something in front of your face will stop droplets from hitting it. We all know that. And that's what the studies the mainstream media keeps pushing out. Here's why the science, and it shows you studies either discussing N95 face masks, which, by the way, he also shows in here that aren't actually even having any evidence behind that either. But the fact that all they're ultimately coming to the conclusion of is that, yes, wearing a mask will stop blood and spit from hitting your face. And yes, that does automatically translate into some kind of an effect. But that is not microparticles. We're talking about viruses today. And every single time ever since we've gotten here, they've honestly, openly said that it has no effect, just like it says on the right side of the damn box. But because they decided to manipulate you, well, here we are. But that's, I mean, the point is, if you are screaming that this is fake and you're wrong, this guy's crazy, you have not looked at the science.
We're also being told that if you don't have an N95 respirator mask, which, by the way, the vast majority of people walking around in face masks do not have. They're not wearing N95 respirator masks. They're just wearing a cloth mask over their face. And what we've been told over and over is that if you just wear a cloth mask over your face, it's better than nothing, so you should do that. And so because of that, we have tens of millions of people walking around with cloth masks on their face. Now get this. In 2015, there was actually a study done taking a look at medical masks versus just a cloth mask.
Oh, you remember that one? You probably should. Because I've been showing it to you every other day for the last month, right? This is the one I've been trying. People, you know, it's great. It's great to see this getting out. Now, I will point out that I know that there are people in his circle that send him my videos. So I would like to believe that it's our content that got him this information. Nothing said in the video, no, but I don't know that for sure. But the point is, it doesn't matter who gets it out. It does not matter. As long as this is reaching people, that is what counts. And if Ben Swan is talking about it, well, it's going to reach a hell of a lot more people. So it's a great thing to see. But all this, and unfortunately, I don't know why they don't do this. Now, Ben Swan also doesn't include links for you guys in the show notes. I think a lot of people don't, and I'm not sure why. I hope that they would. Probably just a lack of time. There's a lot going on. But at the end of the day, all of the stuff we're pointing to today will be in the link that it will be in the show notes for you to read for yourself. So you can double check this stuff and not just take someone's word for it.
And whether or not wearing a cloth mask would protect against the spread of a virus. And what that study found in 2015 should alarm you. Not only does wearing a cloth mask not prevent the spread of a virus, it actually can put you at greater risk for catching the virus.
What do you know? What do you know? It's almost like you've heard this before.
Look at this. According to researchers, this study is the first RCT of cloth masks, and the results caution against the use of cloth masks. This is an important finding to inform occupational health and safety. Moisture retention, reuse of cloth masks, and poor filtration may result in increased risk of infection. Further research is needed to inform the widespread use of cloth masks globally. However, as a precautionary measure, cloth masks should not be recommended for HCWs, that's healthcare workers, particularly in high-risk situations, and guidelines need to be updated.
Well, what do you know, right? And again, you've heard this if you've already been watching the show, and the point is that they knew that study was there and had other studies following that that came to the same results. So they knew that. And yet they told you that you should be wearing that. Not only they said that, they said that's the best thing you can have. Right? That's what you should be wearing. Do you not notice how every action they keep taking seems to be the one that leads you to get more sick, cause more problems? As I keep saying, they would always rather appear incompetent than criminal.
So for those of you who are watching who are doubting all of this, please show me your RCTs, your randomized control tests, that demonstrate how using an N95 respirator mask actually prevents the spread of a virus.
We're waiting for you, John. Go ahead and post it in the chat. We'll wait for it. Oh, you don't got one? Okay, we'll continue.
I'd love to see it. If you're watching this and you say, well, a cloth mask is better than nothing because I heard some reporter on television say so, or I heard some official with the NIH just announce that this is true, please show me the randomized controlled test that verifies that that is true. Because in 2015, that study was done that looked at cloth masks and found not only does it not protect you, it can actually put you at risk. And this is very important information because we are hearing over and over from executives around the country, meaning governors and state leaders and mayors across the country, that you must wear a face mask to protect yourself and to protect others. And to not do so is an act of selfishness. And what they're telling you to do, according to these scientific studies, is to actually put yourself at greater risk. You're not protecting the population. You're actually putting yourself at risk. So we know that with the cloth masks, that study shows that you put yourself at greater risk. And let's go even deeper on this, because the reality is...
Hold on, let me see what the next one I had at 8:53. So I just went right past. Let's just keep watching the one I already had. I had it kind of broken up, but I'm telling you, Dan Swan just, he killed this video. He really did a great job.
That by wearing an N95 respiratory mask, again, there are other health issues aside from virus that can come up. The reality is wearing a face mask, not just for people with compromised immune systems, but wearing a face mask on a regular basis is unhealthy for you. And there are multiple studies that show that.
I mean, it's just crazy. So we're shifting into a whole nother argument here, right? And it's crazy that this stuff is also wildly true. I mean, that's what's so ridiculous is people, even someone like me who's worked in restaurants, right? Not like industrial, construction or where they have to wear these kind of masks because of, you know, chemical in the air or metal dust, you know, whatever, all the whatever things that can happen in construction where you breathe in, it's dangerous for you, right? And OSHA, well, very clearly has always made it clear about what is needed to create a safe work environment. And it's documented. And I've shown you this 100 times. And here again, this is the one, right? Where it also says, right. Oh, that's, I actually grabbed the wrong one, it looks like. That is unless they just changed this website, in regard to the masks. Let's see. It looks like it. It looks like they might have changed it. How interesting is that? Anybody else getting tired of seeing them update their websites? Cloth face coverings. Wow. They changed this, guys. I mean, this is unreal. I mean, I keep catching this stuff in real time. I've shown you that picture 100 times. You know what? I might even have a picture of it right now. Give me a second. Bear with me. Because this is just crazy. The idea that we can be staring at this stuff and show it over and over and over. whether it's the OSHA website or any number of things that we keep pointing to, and then they can just go edit it. As if there's been some new information. Guess what? There hasn't been, as we keep showing you. But they sure as hell will continue to edit this stuff to give you the impression that they want to give you. I'm not going to search too long because I don't want to take, I'm not exactly sure where it is. I was hoping to grab this real quick, but it's not popping out to me. You guys remember this on the show. Hopefully those of you out there who are, you know, fans can share a clip of it showing it. Maybe I'll find it. Anyway, the point is on OSHA's own website, right where you're looking now, it said, and you've seen numerous times, it said face cloth or surgical masks do not protect you from viruses. Of course, they just don't include that anymore, right? Wonder why. Crazy. I mean, this just baffles me. We're living in this is 1984. This is Orwell's 1984. We are watching them revise history in real time, and it scares me. I mean, that's really crazy to see. Back to the video.
The N95 mask, which filters out 95% of particles because it impairs respiratory exchange or breathing to a greater degree than a soft mask, and is more often associated with headaches. In one such study, researchers surveyed 212 healthcare workers, 47 males and 165 females, asking about presence of headaches with N95 mask use, duration of the headaches, type of headaches, and if the person had pre-existing headaches. They found that about a third of the workers developed headaches with the use of the mask. Most had pre-existing headaches that were worsened by mask wearing, and 60% required pain medications for relief. As to the cause of the headaches, while straps and pressure from the mask could be causative, the bulk of the evidence points towards hypoxia and or hypercapnia as the cause. That is, a reduction in blood oxygenation or an elevation in blood CO2. It is known that the N95 mask, if worn for hours, can reduce blood oxygenation as much as 20%, which can lead to a loss of consciousness. There's another danger to wearing these masks on a daily basis, especially if you're wearing it for several hours. When a person is infected with a respiratory virus, they will expel some of that virus with each breath. But if you're wearing a mask, especially an N95 mask, you're breathing back in the virus every time you attempt to expel it. Now, as I say these things, there are those who are going to watch and say, well, that's simply not true. That's not true. You're wearing a mask is not worse for you, it's better for you. And you're not saying that based on science. You're not saying that based on scientific evidence. You're saying it because it's what you're being told over and over and over again in the media and by politicians and by these doctors who are in positions that are political positions, not in medical positions. And over, they're repeating this to you. And by the way, even the biggest doctor of them all in this country, Dr. Anthony Fauci, who keeps talking about this issue, referred to wearing a face mask as mostly symbolic.
Which is right here. And actually, I have a nice treat for you. I didn't plan to play all that, actually. I was playing it while I found the thing I was looking for. Let's see. Oh, it looks like I did have one more part I was going to play. Well, here's what he's talking about. Fauci says he wears masks as a symbol of good behavior. Of good behavior. Isn't that nice? Isn't that showing you exactly? So wearing a mask is behaving for your government. Isn't that nice? Well, here's something to show you so I can actually show you a real-time example of what we're talking about, the manipulation of that website. So let me set this up real quick so I can show you this picture, the image. And here we go. We'll look at that. Okay. So here's the website, guys. It's just playing on the video. Now here, let me go back a second more and just mute this. You guys can see it play real time. And you can see it play on the website. I'm just playing this right off in a video. This is the mask video I'm trying to upload today. There it is. Okay. You can see it's Department of Labor. And can you not see the parts we're talking about right there? Will not protect the wearer against airborne transmission infections. This is the same website. Let's go back and look at this one. That's what it looks like now. Quite different, don't you think? And when you actually click on cloth, or I guess it's under PPE now, it's clearly not as easy to look at now. When you click on these things, it doesn't say anything about it. It doesn't say anything about whether or not it protects you from fire. Wouldn't that be the most important question? Well, one more time, just so you can see it. Will not. It's quite different. And they're very specific about the mask. Why? Because this page was specifically about the masks. Now it's different. Unless I'm mistaken somehow. Either way, the point is the same. Because there could be some weird issue with the links. Who knows? But at the end of the day, OSHA's own website says very clearly that they will not protect you, or it did. And yet they keep forcing this on you. All the studies say the same. There's not enough evidence. They keep forcing it on you. The N95 mask actually, even those don't show that there's any effect. And then it shows the studies that they actually create more problems in regard to getting sick. The cloth masks themselves show that they actually create more illness. And yet they keep forcing it on you. Can anybody explain that to me? Anybody other than the irrational people screaming about how we're being irresponsible by pointing to the science? Let's keep watching.
The reality is, number one, wearing an N95 face mask does not prevent the spread of virus. Number two, wearing a cloth mask does not prevent the spread of virus, but can lead to a greater chance for infection from a virus. And number three, if you have other health conditions, N95 masks can actually make it worse. Now, here's what that all means. It means that this talk of protecting you from a virus with a mask is not based in science. I've shown you the science. It's not based in science or fact. And if it's not, then is wearing a face mask really about protecting the public? Or does it become about submission of the public? Are we being forced to submit merely because politicians want us to?
It's an excellent question. I tell you, that's really just knocked that out of the park. I mean, like, it's just really well done. And it's only 12 minutes. And he goes over all this stuff. I mean, that is one that you really need to share with everybody. The link will be in the show notes. Get that video out to people. Make sure they see it. Include the links that I'll have in this with that video so they can actually research the articles. And there's no reason that anybody actually interested in science or interested in facts would dismiss that. But those that are dismissing it or sending you some mainstream article because that, here, well, here's my thing to counter that thing, that means they didn't even look at the video, right? It's unreal that we can be in these positions. But hopefully this stuff will continue to spread. Now, check this out. This is from today, I believe. This is most recent. After seeing that information and all the other things. Well, by the way, I will go to this first. Before we even get to that article, remember, these are all here for you. 2015, studies saying the same thing. 2015 in June, going further about the masks, saying the same thing. Not enough evidence. CDC, May 2020, not enough evidence to say it does anything. OSHA, we used to say the same thing. Ben points out about seven other studies that confirm the same thing. And here's Media Matters for America coming out saying YouTube videos falsely claiming that masks are harmful have gotten hundreds of thousands of views. Are they falsely claiming that when that's the known information about masks that's stated in regard to those being worn in work environments that he just showed you? I mean, how can that even be possible? How can it even be possible that, well, I mean, I'm just saying this to make a point. We know why it's possible. Because groups like Media Matters are liars. They are active manipulators of information. Otherwise, how could you possibly explain how they can claim it's false when it's literally verifiable information? And I'm not saying that lightly. This is verifiable data from before this ever happened in regard to masks and how they affect your breathing. The idea is they're not meant to be worn all the time, especially not children with growing bodies and brains. It's obviously problematic, as seen by the video itself, showing you that it actually creates a unsafe work environment, according to OSHA. None of this stuff is misinformation. It's verifiable fact. But yet here's Media Matters saying that these things are fake. Why? Because they dared to argue that masks have harmful effects. Not all the time even, but just that they can be harmful for you, or that they suppress your oxygen flow, which is a obvious, I mean, brainless, elementary fact. You have something in front of your mouth, it's probably going to limit your oxygen flow, right? I mean, it's the stupidest thing I could possibly imagine, but they're claiming that's fake news. I mean, I not even want to give this too much. If you go through this and read what they're saying, I mean, look, they're pointing directly to the line that says they do impede flow of oxygen, and that's false, according to Media Matters. So if you breathe through fabric, that in no way impedes your oxygen flow, apparently not. according to Media Matters, real scientific. I mean, all of these things. They're breaking down basic information that's easily verifiable. And what they usually do is they latch on to one, tangential claim they make in regard to this that has nothing to do with the actual claim about why they do these things. And they make that the reason they make this all fake. Either way, we know as a matter of fact that these things do not do what they say they do. And they do have negative effects. But they're deleting videos that simply say that. Just like I pointed out in my video the other day, that they're fact-checking people who are literally reposting the exact phrase that's on the side of a box of masks. That they will not protect, give you any protection from COVID-19. It literally says that in writing on the side of these mask boxes. And then when somebody posts that picture and writes the exact phrase, it's getting deleted on Facebook. How do you explain that? Other than them controlling the flow of information. Well, here's an interesting, actually not this one. I thought I had that lined up right. Well, anyway, here's the what Ben and other people are pointing out. Governor Whitmer signs an order requiring businesses to enforce face masks or face a fine. So now, again, just like we told you, now it's going another step. No, now it's not recommended. Now you have to. Well, not everybody, right? It's not mandatory because it's only businesses. Well, guess what? Now you can't do anything without a mask unless you just want to go wandering by yourself in the middle of nowhere. Or if you want to go to the bar, you got to wear a mask. You want to go to the store, you got to wear a mask. You want to get on the bus, you got to wear a mask. You want to do anything, you got to wear a mask or face a fine. But let's pretend like this isn't mandatory, right? And this is all based on things we already know are inaccurate at the very least, but keep calling us crazy. Swift action to save lives. Don't you like how they frame their own narrative, right? CDC director says, guess what? U.S. could get coronavirus under control. It's weird that they frame it like, you know, they used to come at us like we were being too broad with it. It's COVID-19, not coronavirus. Well, now they're saying the same thing. It's interesting. But U.S. could get coronavirus under control in 4 to 8 weeks if we all wear masks. As always, it's your fault. That's why this is all set up this way. So no matter what, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Because you know what? It's impossible to get everyone to wear masks. So it's going to fail. Just like they're telling, well, we didn't get everyone to wear them. It's your fault. You did it. It's your fault for not listening to your not listening to your betters, right? We're your betters. We know better. We're smarter. We're more in control. I mean, this is everything about this whole narrative is it's inherently telling you that they know what's better. They're better than you. We know more. We're more intelligent. You're just the small little normal people. Sit back and let us take care of you because you don't know as much. Right? That's what all this means. Every single part of this, even the mass discussion, is saying, look, just shut up and take what we're giving you because we know better, right? You don't have to, we convince you that you can choose for yourself, but then when it really comes down to it, it's not your choice because we know what's better for you because you're going to make choices that put you in danger and we can't allow that. At least that's the perception they want you to take as you passively allow them to control your life under the guise of fear. If we all wear masks, it'll all go away, right? Well, here's someone saying, Richie Allen saying, pointing to the idea, and we've already actually pointed this out twice, in fact, one of which was saying that we were all psychopaths if we didn't social distance, like literally would actually go out of our way to get people sick on purpose simply because we didn't agree with the lies they were selling us. Well, now, again, it's just the same thing. They're trying to paint the narrative as if, well, if you're not going along blindly with what your government says, well, you're clearly crazy. Right? Isn't that convenient and perfect? It allows the people who are being feeble and weak and allowing their government to dictate every choice in their life because of fear. It's making them pat themselves in the back and say, see, we're the good ones. Right? We got the rose. We got the star. We're the good, passive, compliant people. So our government will pat us on the head and push us along. But see, those people, they're the crazy ones. They're the COVIDiots. They're the psychopaths. That's what it says. Real COVIDiots. People who refuse to wear a mask or comply with social distancing have lower cognitive ability, it says, according to a new study. So basically, you don't wear your mask, you're dumb. Isn't that self-serving? I mean, and think about what we just went over. Can you believe that we're at a point where they're actually saying that? That if you don't wear a mask, you're just stupid. Even as the science literally says there's no evidence to support the fact that it even protects you at all. And it actually shows that it makes you more sick in many cases. That's pretty ridiculous, wouldn't you say? This is the world. This is the clown world we're in. As Spiro adds, so if you don't wear a mask, you're a moron. And if you don't social distance, you're a psychopath, which is the point we made a moment ago. This is the article. Psychopathic traits linked to noncompliance. It's just self-serving, right? Study says, right? Oh, who funded it? Who's with it? I mean, the idea is that there's always ways you can manipulate numbers, which is why, whether we're talking about the studies I'm showing you now or the study they're pointing to, you should look into it and come to your own conclusions, not blindly take what people say. Because when you go through studies like this, you tend to find out that there's usually not much to it. It comes down to a broad idea or grasping onto previous claims made by, quote, experts without citing information. It's always this way because they know that people will read this and move forward and say, okay, perfect, that's my excuse. Well, I don't want to be a psycho, so I'm going to blindly follow you. Well, as I pointed out in regard to Dr. Joseph Fair, you know, that doctor who just got caught faking COVID-19, as I said, your favorite mainstream media doctor who was just caught faking it, gushing about making a child think wearing a mask is not just normal, but cute. There's social engineering by career manipulators. Think for yourself. Let's get this going, guys. Hashtag actually look at the science. Right? I mean, for crying out loud. That was on the 13th I put that out. Here's what he tweeted. If you can look at this. From a dear friend, oh, her daughter's first mask, it made my heart melt. That is the most disgusting, horrifying thing I've ever seen in my life. That makes me more disgusted than most things I've covered. The idea that this muzzle, unnecessarily, and it's a fabric mask. Are you trying to get her sick? Do you want to look at the information? Well, according to Dr. Joseph Fair, who's a doctor who's willing to lie on the media to sell a narrative that he doesn't believe in, or rather doesn't care to believe in, that's the same person telling you this is cute and normal. Maybe we shouldn't listen to a liar, you know? Just a thought. But so you guys, if you don't remember, if you haven't seen the story, Dr. Joseph Fair was caught, or rather admitted to quietly the fact that he never, ever tested positive for COVID-19, despite the fact that he went on a months-long or weeks-long COVID-19 drama series for CNN. Oh, I'm so sick, and now I'm in the bed. And even on the air, she said, well, you tested negative for the test, but clearly you've got COVID-19. Like, that was live on the air. They lied to you because they wanted to sell you on the idea that he somehow got it through his eyes, even though he didn't even know he had it. But somehow he knew it went through his eyes because he lied to you. And now they're trying to give you your new religion, right? Your new gospel of medical belief. And masks. And I mean, the whole thing, I mean, look at this. Isn't this ridiculous? I mean, especially at a point, I mean, they're clearly feeding into the manipulation and the mentality, the whole tearing down statues and the whole thing. I mean, this is just all part of it. This is a statue, for those who can't see it, of a medical worker wearing a mask. Now, first of all, what are we honoring here exactly? Right? Okay. There's plenty of medical workers who are, you know, doing their jobs. And grueling work, yeah, good for them, right? It takes a lot of hard work, right? That's what their job is, though, right? So it's kind of like a policeman saying, oh, well, I'm risking my life. Well, yeah, that was your job. If you don't want to risk your life, then don't do the job. There's plenty of people who'd be willing to do it and, in fact, be willing to risk their life to protect individual people as opposed to step on their neck or manipulate them with your authority, right? But my point is not to disparage them. They do hard work. And, you know, there's some of them that I think are ridiculous. But the point is, are we pretending like they just knocked this out of the park? Are we not in a situation where we're in a really bad way? So what is the mural about? The mural is to get you to think that we have to feel this way. That just because they're doing a hard job that we need to act like they're saving everything. And it is the gospel of the medical industry. That's what that is. Now understand, there are plenty of people that deserve your respect for what they've done in situations like this or any other. But this is not justified, in my opinion. Because it seems like you're taking something, I mean, it's like Donald Trump waving his jobs numbers and saying, look at how great we are. And I'm like, yeah, I'm really sure we're all going to believe we increased our job numbers during the lockdown. It's just a thing to make you think that the economy is good. This is meant to make you think that not only did we knock it out of the park with our COVID response, but that these people did such a great job. You know, it's just an illusion. But I also make another point here. Pretty clear that's a white lady. Is that okay? I thought, is that not part of the whole white supremacy, patriarchy, the whole thing? Like, it was just so ridiculous that now in the middle of all this, we put up a white person statue. Look, I don't care. My point in saying this is because that's obviously what's been this whole big back and forth. right? They're tearing down ex-president statues, and they put up a statue of a black person, and they tear down the black statue. It's all meant to get you pitted into the race war. So you fight each other instead of realizing that they're robbing you of everything you have while you scream about race back and forth. But I just find it ridiculous that in the middle of this, this is the statue that goes up. But that's a point just to make a point. The reality is this is meant to convince you that this is the new altar to be praying at. The technocratic altar. But here is a little bit of positive news. And maybe it's political. We'll have to wait and see. I find it weird they spelt gov, G-U-V. I guess G-O-V could be government. Anyway, no thanks, it says. COVID-infected Oklahoma governor still refuses to require people to wear masks. And of course, their whole point in selling you this article, well, technically from this outlet, I believe they're doing it in the same way that I'm reporting it, but plenty of people will point to this as outrage. Can you believe it? He even has it, and he still won't make them do it. Like, who cares that the science isn't there, right? Remember that. We just went over the science, and it's obvious. But here's the, this is actually really great. I'm glad that they're at least saying this, whether I hope he believes it. But what he says is he's becoming the first U.S. governor to test positive, which he did, so we're told, apparently wasn't enough to convince him to do the same mask mandates, essentially. And he says, I'm not thinking about a mask mandate for all. He says, you can't pick and choose what freedoms you're going to give people. By the way, I kind of hate the way that's even... See, this is funny. I didn't even pick up on this when I first read it. First of all, the point is he's correct in the sentiment. You don't just get to decide. You don't get to pick and choose. But the point is that's not their choice either way. They don't give you freedoms. You have them inherently, as it literally says in the document. But they want you to think, even apparently this person, that they're giving you these freedoms so they can ultimately, it's their choice. Right? These omnipotent, powerful leaders. And he's just going, well, we just can't pick and choose which ones to give them. We just need to give them to. No, you don't give us anything. It's you don't have a say in any of it. These are our inherent rights. But anyway, the point is that the idea is this person is still saying you, all the rest of you, are violating your oath. All of them. Right? They're violating their oath. I would argue even Donald Trump in the sense because he's allowing these governments to do it. I mean, Donald Trump is violating his oath in 100 other ways, as far as I'm concerned. But the point, so is every other Democrat, for all those people who only catch that part. Oh, he's a hater of Trump. The point is, all of them are violating their oath for allowing this to happen. And here's one person who's saying he's not going to, and at least right here, is saying it correctly. You don't just get to pick and choose. These are inherent. You don't just get to take them away. That's the point. Now he says, so if the businesses want to do it, if some local municipalities want to do it, that's fine. But again, we also respect people's rights to stay home if they want, to run their businesses, or not to wear a mask. Thank God. Somebody in government finally standing up and saying, look, it comes down to the bottom line that even if we were in a situation like this, you still don't have the right to tell us to do this. I mean, if you actually listen to people being honest, they'll point blank tell you that governors don't have the authority to force you to wear a mask. They simply don't. But under the guise of emergency and pandemic and terrorism or mass shooting or whatever, the fear-mongering mentality they're giving you, they make you think they can. That is what something like the Constitution is. That's why it's important. That's why it's timeless. Because it outlines the idea that they simply don't. There's no equivocation here. It's black and white. They cannot do it. It's violation of your constitutional rights. But people like Trump and everybody else involved, left and right, are not caring about that. Except very few people like this man here, at least as he's saying it. But we'll see what goes forward. We'll see what he does. But remember that there are some people that are making sure that you know that you have a right to say no and are standing up for you, like local sheriffs, and at the very least, the Oklahoma governor at this point. But we're still seeing this stuff all across the board. You know, this is the exception to the rule. This is the rule right now. As Simon is saying, this is an experiment to test compliance. I believe this is in the UK, to feasibility of rolling out to other areas. It says, suggest you say polite, no thank you, and shut the door. What it says, our volunteers will go door to door in St. Matthews tomorrow to offer people free coronavirus tests, while testing kits will be delivered to homes. If offered a test, please take it. It's a little weird, right? I mean, read about community testing. These people, imagine these people showing up. I mean, the idea of this is alarming, and they're trying to make it seem all friendly. We're smiling. We're love. We're friends, right? This is, they're creating the reality. This is normal. Remember when they created the reality that the police state was normal? You know, we had policemen in elementary schools, and, you know, so kids grew up feeling like police presence was normal. Look at where we are now. We're living in a police state. We're living in a militarized police state that uses military weapons to quote unquote protect you. That's where we are. So when this rolls and we're seeing this continue, we're going to see this normalized, the idea of masks normalized, children growing up and the idea that this is something we should be doing all the time, even as we know it's actually not healthy for you. And, I mean, here's an even more alarming one. This, I believe this is also in the UK. Or no, let's see. Well, it says his building has been locked down for 1 week. He tested negative, and all he wants is his right to stand outside and breathe some fresh air. This is starting to remind me of Handmaid's Tale. It's not about rescuing children. Wake up, people. Now, I can't remember if this was in the UK or Australia, but watch the video. This is the kind of alarming situation. This kind of reminds me of that guy who was forcefully vaccinated. The video we played, which is really hard to watch. The really big, tough guy that breaks down crying as they forcefully pin him to the ground with four people and forcefully inject him. Well, here's a person who has tested negative. And he's at his home. Imagine this is your front door or your apartment building. And all you want to do is walk out your front door. Can you, this is them telling you don't have that right.
Am I touching you guys?
No.
Definitely Australia, by the way.
I've been listening to instructions for 7 days.
We're still giving you the same instructions. Pardon me for the not the language. We're still giving you the same instructions. Do you realize how crazy it is that you can be in your own home and in any sense be told that? But then you test negative, right? Then you test negative, and they still say, "Too bad, right? Our mandates for the safety, or so we're telling you of everybody else, allow us the right to force you in your home and decide when, if and when you're allowed to leave your own home." Do you remember when this was never going to happen? Do you remember when this was told? This was, that's fake news, right? It's always a choice, right? It's only if you're sick. It's only this. It's only that. It's always a choice right up until it becomes mandatory. And then, it has to happen because it's you. There's an excuse every single time. This man is living the situation. Right? Everyone on the outside would say, well, it's just because he might be sick. It's not their right. Your freedom as a human being, regardless of what country you're in, supersedes anybody's right to tell you what you can do with your own body. But of course, we're in a situation now where the governments have tricked everybody into thinking that everything they do is for the best interest of the collective. Up until it's you in this situation.
Not. Oh, really? I can't walk out right there. Just there. You're not allowed outside.
You're not allowed outside. You didn't hear that.
I'm fucking negative. What if it turns positive tomorrow and you've had contact?
What if you test positive tomorrow? So I guess it doesn't even matter. Right? It doesn't even matter. You can test positive. It doesn't even matter. Well, you might be tested tomorrow. Right? So who cares about that? Right? Of course, the argument they're going to say is that it has to, well, you know, we want to give you the time to make sure it's not. Like, why would you test him if the test didn't matter? If he's going to be locked down, then keep him locked down until you, I mean, that's not what I'm arguing. My point is to show you the fallacy there. Why are you going to test him and then pretend like the next test is going to matter more? This is ridiculous. And this is control. Just like Ben was saying, this is about control. It was from the very beginning. And that's the other point he's making. He's like, so you're telling me I have to stay in this area that's locked down because other people are sick. So you're forcing me to stay in an area where people are sick, even though I tested negative. Do you want me to get sick? That's what he's saying.
How are you going to be sick? I'm with people that are positive.
You'll be safe if you remain in your area, in your room, okay?
Go back up to your house, mate.
It is
call direction. DHS.
Of course.
Call DHS. You guys,
every day, you guys tell me the same thing. What else did I tell me?
Thank you. It wasn't. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
In other words, we all need to work together and get through this, okay? We are not able to allow you to
How? Is that every day some girl gets to walk her dogs out every day?
How is it that you're coming
back? The dogs have more rights than I do.
And even arguing about this when you already know what the answer is, mate.
Right? Why are you even asking? Right? You know you don't have a choice. You know you don't have any rights. Why are you even bothering to ask us? Go in your home. Right? Isn't clear, right? Foregone conclusion. Don't you already know? You don't have any rights.
Hey, you know what? Just arrest me and take me out of the building.
We're not going there, mate.
Just take me out of the building.
Outside.
Take me out of this fucking building.
Upstairs, come on. Dude, I appreciate you're in a hard situation. None of us have been in this situation, and we don't know what you're going through, all right? I appreciate that. I just ask you to have a bit of patience with us, man.
I'm about to fucking lose it, man.
I mean, do you also realize that for this situation to be happening the way it is, that means that they're under lock and guard? There's people guarding the front door. I mean, I guess it has to be 24 hours. Otherwise, it wouldn't make sense they would do this. I mean, can anybody pretend like this is some kind of, like, this is freedom? And this is just a caveat to freedom, right? There's freedom here, but this is what freedom looks like when there's a virus. Like, is anybody believe that?
I'm not fucking grown, man. Yes! Okay. Fucking call me somebody. I want to get out of here.
Right.
I want to at least go outside there.
What's your name?
You got a mask on. So what am I going to give you?
What's your name?
Oh, my God, man.
Right, because the masks don't do anything. Hey, they probably know that.
I need to go outside.
Man, it's really rough to watch stuff like that, you know, because you got to imagine what he's going through and how that must feel. You know, I mean, like, especially if, you know, a lot of us have been on, you know, self-isolation or whatever you want to call it. You know, we've chosen to stay in our homes, but someone in this position where it's not a choice. I mean, that's cabin fever. You go crazy. And just to come down to have them and to be standing within 6 feet of the front door and have them not let you outside. It's just disconcerting. But this is the reality, right? I mean, this is what we need people to see. If you're looking at this going, that'll never happen here, right? In this country, or whatever you want to tell yourself, we've done this every step of the way. And this is coming. This is what it will be very, very soon. And in fact, this is happening in this country right now. We're just not seeing these videos. There are places right now that are on lockdown, right? We're just not being, people are not showing it, or it's not getting out, however you want to look at it. But it's far more than just the lockdown and the mask and all these different things we keep trying to show you, right? There's plenty of other things that they're forcing in around this whole discussion. One of which is one that we should be very, very uncomfortable with, the vaccine discussion. Because it's something that's never been tested on people before. It's something that has never succeeded before. And they've tried over and over and over and over. And now suddenly, hey, now it's working. Or so we're telling you. And this will 100% alter your DNA. That's what these will do. In fact, DNA or mRNA vaccines. These things are genetically modifying. They've been talking about it for quite some time. It's what they've been trying to do. And you know what? Just like all the rest of it, you know what? COVID-19 just so happened to give them the perfect opportunity to do what they've been trying to do for a long time. Isn't it funny how in every situation you look at, well, what do you know? COVID-19 gave them the opportunity to do exactly what they're doing. Every single one of them. It's almost like it was meant to happen. Fauci warns U.S. unlikely to reach herd immunity if too many refuse vaccine. Same thing. Unlikely to reach herd immunity. Do you understand? They've known for a long time that there's a huge portion of this country that does not believe in the intent behind the vaccines or vaccines in general. I'm an intent person. The point is that there's a lot. And even more so today with arguably probably the entire Trump side of the supporting here, despite the fact that Trump is obviously on the side of vaccines here. Obviously supporting vaccines, obviously saying that we're having great success with vaccines, right? That we should all get our vaccines, right? This is all things he's said. Including using the military, it won't be mandatory, so we keep saying, right? There's a big difference between mandatory like we're picturing some kind of forced injection, and, you know, you can't execute anything in your daily life without having your digital passport. That's different, but that's what they're creating. The idea is that there's going to be 100%. A huge portion. As I was just seeing studies about something like 40-something percent of people in this country are already saying they're not going to take this. So the idea is that they know, just like they've known for a long time, that they will not get this many people. So it's going to be, as always, a self-fulfilling prophecy. All they really want is people to get the vaccine. It's going to be money, profit, control. So it's going to go out. Oh, guess what? You guys didn't do it enough. So it didn't work this time. So now we got to do it again. I mean, even though it doesn't make any sense whatsoever, if the vaccine creates antibodies like they're telling you and it stops you from getting it, what does herd immunity have to do with anything? Oh, it's because it protects the other people. They're not. It's an abstract, ridiculous response every time. It doesn't make sense, just like the none of it makes sense. But we're going to refuse it, and they're going to say that's why it didn't work. And then guess what? Then it's going to be like, well, it's for your safety. Now we have to mandate it, right? We have to get enough for herd immunity, or it doesn't make sense. Oh, exactly like I've been saying from the beginning. Why would they put this much money, this much time, this much effort, this much everything into making this, billions of dollars? If the goal was to reach herd immunity, and they knew that wasn't going to happen unless they made it mandatory. Well, because they know that they can just simply make it mandatory. They wouldn't bank on your approval for a huge agenda. They just simply would not. But as I said, here's Trump. Great news on vaccines, right? Of course, that's 4D chess, according to all his supporters, because he's trying to fool somebody, I guess. Maybe his own people. I don't know. Getting to great news. I mean, it's very interesting. Even John Rappaport, who is a supporter of Trump, I believe, is also posting this. And this is actually something that I'm going to talk about next. I didn't see this one. Really graceful. That does great work, by the way, if you guys haven't seen her. She does periodic kind of mini docs. Really good stuff. She says that we don't need one for a virus with a 99% survival rate. It's like, you know, it's just funny. But great news on vaccines needs to show you in conjunction with everything else, including giving billions of dollars to Gavi, which is the Global Vaccine Alliance that Bill Gates founded and predominantly funds, which, by the way, was U.S. aid. But then it was also over $1 billion directly from Trump's administration. Oh, plug your ears, Trump supporters. That's not true. Not true. Fake news. Right. 100% happened. Said it right on the article they all tried to say was fake news. That even RFK Jr. deleted for some reason, even though it very clearly says that right in it. Trump's administration, Kraft and other, I want to say Kraft. Either way, Trump's people in his administration openly said at the Gavi discussion, we're happy to give you $500 million for so-and-so. And then it was another $700 million. That was directly from his administration. But I guess that's 4D chess. You're trying to play them against each other by giving them all control over the very things that they can use to exert their will over the world. But yeah, that all makes sense, right? Totally. Well, here's the point. Right now, just like we said, the same thing. Great news on the vaccines. Anthrax vaccine all over again, guys. I said, oh, what do you know? Robert Cadlec's involved in this one too. U.S. enlisted soldiers to be among the first to receive the DNA, mRNA, nanotech, COVID-19 vaccine. That's John Rappaport's input, but I agree. Gene therapy injectable, Corona War syndrome. They are going to be the first among the first to get this. Now, remember, I argue that this will not be mandatory like it has been in the past. But remember, we've talked about this before. We've talked about other instances with the U.S. government where it wasn't, quote, mandatory, but these soldiers were aggressively pressured, that they knew they wouldn't get the deployments they wanted, or they wouldn't get the leave they asked for, or any number of things that they didn't mindlessly allow themselves to be injected with something that they're being tested with. Right? You'll never hear that it was mandatory. But when you, 10 years from now, find out all these crazy side effects and talk to people that were told they had to, or they wouldn't get to go home and see their family or whatever, then you'll realize that this is what they always do. So again, as I point, the anthrax vaccine all over again, because that's what happened. Robert Cadlec, Emergent BioSolutions, which right now, by the way, is tied up with a deal in regard to the vaccines that are being made right now. Or rather, specifically with a company that's tied up with making the vaccines. But now, either way, Robert Cadlec is the Assistant Secretary for Health and Human Services, the sole individual in charge of the Strategic National Stockpile. which picks the vaccines and everything else. The sole individual. He was one of the key factors in pushing the anthrax vaccine on the military for mandatory purposes that they'd absolutely hurt people for the rest of their lives in some cases. And as I keep pointing out, the Pentagon actually lost a lawsuit in this regard. So they proved that they knowingly used harmful vaccines, knowingly forced it on soldiers. Oh, and then, of course, he was arrested and he never got a job again. That's not correct. He's right now working for the Trump administration. What do you know? It's funny how these people who do the worst things tend to get the best jobs. It's almost like that's because they did what they were supposed to. But here we are. And as I said in another tweet to follow up, well, this should also reflect greatly on Trump's true intentions. Right? When the soldiers are told they must take the vaccine, we all need to see the two-party illusion as the deception that it is. Now, that's just a hypothetical. But as this person points out, which I find this is constantly what we see, she says, I don't think he has that much power. She's talking about the president, understand, even if he did oppose it. So this is the way that they allow Trump to be not responsible for anything, right? When they want to, well, of course, every good thing that happened is because of his leadership. But of course, when bad things happen, well, he doesn't have all that much power. He, even if he tried to stop it, he couldn't. What? That may change if he gets reelected. Apparently, because once you get reelected for a second time, well, that's when all the power kicks in, right? If that happens, I'll bet we'll see some real... I keep hearing that. Well, when he gets reelected, that's when the real changes are going to start because you can't do blah, blah, because they were... I mean, none of it makes sense. The idea that you're going to hope that you get reelected, first of all, and just allow the first 4 years to be what? To make it worse so you can then make it better in the next four? I mean, none of it makes any sense. You have to see this for what it is. And realize this is applying to both sides, even though this is about Trump. We need to see the two-party illusion. The Trump supporters and the Biden supporters. We need to see that you're all being fooled. And all the same stuff is marching forward. Now, here's the article. U.S. troops will be among the first to get the COVID-19 vaccine. And you know why that should alarm you? Well, first of all, before I even get to the alarming part, well, I guess this is partly the alarming part, but this is from Bloomberg. Moderna fires up COVID vaccine race with promising early results, it says. Big old headline, right? No comma, plus a lot of really intense bad side effects. Oh, they didn't include that, right? And what's interesting is when I first saw this article, you can see it says updated right here. This changed and everything seems to be changing. And all they do is add this updated now. They don't add like a big thing like they're supposed to and say, oh, we completely changed one of these main parts because, you know, whatever, right? They just updated, but says and now says closely watched shot creates antibodies. And I believe they added but side effects seen. I don't believe I saw it the first time, but I could be mistaken, but it was updated. But here's the first part that I want to talk about. They're talking about how these vaccines are creating antibodies. Right? Okay, Moderna, and this is the first thing they did again. Remember when Moncef Slaoui, Trump's vaccine czar, who used to work for GlaxoSmithKline, who had a lot of money invested in Moderna, which is completely irresponsible and just wrong in every way, but who cares? When he was put in place, the idea was what they were trying to sell you on, that the vaccine created all these antibodies and that's why it's succeeding, okay? They did it again. They're saying that again. But ask yourself why that makes sense. Is the CDC not telling us right now that they're testing for antibodies and then counting those as cases? So how then are you going to get antibodies from the vaccine? And does that mean that you're now sick? Are you going to get the vaccine and then test positive? I mean, this is obviously some of the theories people are talking about, but that's not even what I'm trying to get into. I'm trying to say that antibodies are being created and they're saying that means that the vaccine's working. But at the same exact time, they're saying that that means you're sick if you get tested positive for antibodies with the CDC tests. But it's ridiculous. The point is they're using the antibody tests to give you cases when it doesn't mean that. That's the point. And it also shows you that the vaccine in regard to creating the antibodies is the whole point. The idea of the antibody creation is what we're told is the whole premise of a vaccine. But their entire narrative right now is seemingly challenging that. Only when they want it to. But here, as they point out, and what's funny is they talk about all this stuff and it looks like it's going great and Fauci says it's really quite promising and on, but then it says more than half of participants who got the middle of three doses administered in the trial suffered mild to moderate fatigue, chills, headaches, and muscle pains. Also 40% of people in the middle dose group experienced a fever after the second vaccination. Three of the 14 patients given the highest dose experienced severe side effects. but the dose is not being used in larger trials. But then it says, quote, man, that's a lot of adverse events, according to Tony Moody, a doctor and researcher at the Duke Human Vaccine Institute. He said it would be unusual for a vaccine to have this rate of side effects. You don't say. Well, let's go on to someone who's actually going to get into the real nuance of what this was and not brush past it and tell you had promising results, which is what the mainstream media is trying to do. Moderna, COVID-19 vaccine induced adverse reactions in, quote, more than half of the trial participants. Now, it says a highly anticipated clinical trial for a potential COVID-19 vaccine managed in part by the American drug company Moderna has resulted in some adverse effects in more than half of the trial's participants. Now, that's not even the most alarming part to me. One test group reported severe symptoms. Now, of course, this was sponsored by the NIH, which is ridiculous that we can have Moderna, who is a vaccine company, working with our own government, and we're trying to pretend like that's not a conflict of interest in regard to making the vaccine, that Robert Kadlec is then going to sell, who has ties to Moderna, Moncef Salawi has ties to Moderna, and we're not going to pretend like that's just the most ridiculous in conflict of interest. I mean, it's a joke. But I guess if you're on the good guy team, quote unquote, good guy team, well, then none of these things matter. But it says induced anti-SARS-CoV-2 immune responses in all participants. So it induced the creation of antibodies is the claim. But remember that many doctors, including the one in Bulgaria, is telling you that that's impossible. You know why? Because they've never actually isolated the virus. So you can't produce antibodies for something that they haven't even proven is there. So we should be very skeptical about this, knowing as a matter of fact that they did not use Koch postulates to isolate the virus. They did not prove it was what they said it was. And they just moved forward using a different variation because that gave them the result they wanted. Dr. Kaufman's talked about this. Numerous people who are honest have pointed this out. And they will not deny it because it's absolutely true. They just simply argue that the weird and timely variation of the thing they needed to result the result they wanted also was justified. You know, they just don't want to tell you that that's the only time they've ever done that up until they suddenly changed the normal thing, the gold standard, in the one moment where it matters, and that's totally normal. But it's not. So how then can we have a vaccine? How then can we isolate the idea? How can we have antibodies for something that they haven't even proven is there? Now, that doesn't mean that it's not something. It just means that they haven't proven that that is what we're talking about. Now, it says, yet a majority of participants still reported at least one side effect. A majority. It says solicited adverse events that occurred in more than half of participants included fatigue, chills, headache, the myalgia, I believe, is like the unease in your legs and unrest, I believe. I think that's what it was. And pain at the injection site. Fever, joint pain, and nausea were also reported. Side effects grew more common with more and larger injections. What do you know? And it says systemic adverse events were more common after the second vaccination, particularly with the highest dose. Get this, 3 participants, 21% in the 250, whatever that is, dose group reported one or more severe adverse events. Severe adverse events. So 21%. Here's what a severe adverse event is. Death, life-threatening, hospitalization, disability, permanent damage, Congential, that can't be how it's said. Congential, that's weird. Of a disease or physical abnormality present from a birth. Congenital, I know that, that's ridiculous. I kept trying to say a different word. That was confusing me. So it's congenital anomaly, birth defect. Required intervention to prevent permanent impairment or damage, other serious, basically really serious things. Right, this is funny. That makes me mad that I didn't pick that up. Congenital birth defects, right? Things that happen when you're born. Anyway, the point is, these are very serious. They're saying 21% of the people that got the high dose had these kind of effects. And yet, that's how it's framed in the mainstream media. Doesn't sound promising to me. Sounds really dangerous. Just like we told you it probably would be. Because they're not testing. They didn't even test on animals. They just skipped it. They're going right to humans. You know why? Because those humans with those effects, they are the animals. They're the ones being the test subjects. Because they've convinced you that this is for the greater good. Isn't that funny how that works? Now it says, notably, every participant in the 2 larger doses groups reported adverse reactions. Let me say that again. Every participant Every one of them in the two larger dose groups reported adverse reactions. Every one after their second injection. One study participant in the smaller dose group, meanwhile, was removed due to having developed hives after just the first injection. Now, it says, due to the ongoing status of the project, they are not yet, quote, able to assess the durability of the immune responses, meaning that even the antibodies they're telling you were created may not last. And of course, my opinion in saying that is in order to get you to take it every year. As always, there's no money in, well, how's that go? There's no money. I can't believe I'm forgetting that. The idea is that return business, right, is what they need. The money's not in healing. The money is in treating. There's a funny phrase that I saw on a meme that I'm forgetting exactly how it goes, but it shows a doctor pointing to a blackboard, basically saying, like, look, there's no money in killing your return business or something like that. You know, and it's just, this is what they're taught. And honest doctors will even tell you that. That the idea is that they know this is it's a profit model. I mean, do you really believe that you're a doctor if all you're doing is handing out pills? Man, when you actually find a doctor that's willing to talk to you about the things and discuss things that are supposed to be taboo, usually that's a good sign it's a real doctor who thinks for himself. Critical thinking and all, you know. But on a similar topic in general, in regard to the technological and technocratic pushes to all of this stuff, and talking about the NIH and Dr. Fauci and the vaccines, Carmen shared this. Thank you for sharing it. According to NIH, and we just talked about Bill Gates and BioMilk. Actually, I saw it on the New World Next Week. Disgusting, horrifying reality of pretending that fake milk is somehow more healthy than natural breast milk. And there's been an agenda to do that for decades now, even though there's unquantifiable benefits from every aspect of blanking on the official word for, you know, breastfeeding and nursing with children. I mean, it's unreal the effects that it does. And in fact, also, by the way, natural cannabinoids are produced in breast milk. Natural. Whether or not you've ever smoked cannabis in your life, your natural breast milk produces natural cannabinoids. But let's pretend like cannabis is the worst thing on the planet and it wasn't actually meant to thrive with the human body, right? Let's just pretend. But this is the point. They don't want you having these things. They want you to depend on people like Bill Gates and their artificial substances. According to the NIH, though, get this, in regard to the vaccine specifically, breastfeeding neutralizes the effects of the vaccine. Oh, isn't that perfect? She says, for sure, it has nothing to do with Bill Gates and his new project to produce fake human milk. Right? Of course not. Right in the middle of this thing. Well, guess what? That vaccine is going to save your life. Well, you better not breastfeed. Oh, well, by the way, you can buy some bio milk at the same time. Actually, we have a deal. They come in a package. What do you know? Ridiculous. And it says the unbelievable psychopathic madness of the big money capitalist pharmaceutical industry, because breast milk probably sensibly and helpfully stops a vaccine from working. They suggest stopping breastfeeding. I'm not sure. I think they just, anyway, the point is the argument she's making is essentially that there's so many other benefits to breastfeeding and natural breast milk, but because they claim it has a small effect on the virus, on the vaccine, well, let's just remove bio breast milk entirely, right? Which is kind of what they're arguing. But when you actually look at the study, here's what it says. Background, live oral rotavirus vaccines have been less immunogenic and efficacious among children in poor developing countries compared with middle income and industrialized countries for reasons that are not yet completely understood. So basically, we don't know. We don't know if that's the case. It could, breast milk could lower the efficacy of vaccines, right? It could. And okay, here's what they found. The neutralizing of activity in one half of the breast milk specimens from Indian women could reduce the efficacy of vaccines. Could. That's still their finding. Could. I mean, it's unreal that this is then sold in the way that it is, right? Because there's other things going around like this, selling this, and the idea that we should be using this because it's dangerous and the vaccine might be, you know, might hinder the COVID-19 vaccine, and you're being irresponsible if you breastfeed because you're stopping the effective effort to stop this thing. So you better not. If you're not using bio milk, you're being irresponsible, right? Just like the masks, right? There's no science to it. Why is it any different? Now it says interpretation could be explained in part by higher titers of IgA, which is what they're talking about, the interaction between the milk and the vaccine, and neutralizing activity in breast milk consumed by their infants at the time of immunization that could effectively reduce the potency of the vaccine. I mean, they might as well just have written down a piece of paper. We don't know anything, but it might do something, so why don't we stop it? And we know that we have funding coming from Bill Gates, so let's just lean into that. I'm just making that up. I'm just saying that there's nothing to that. I mean, it is a hypothetical. But yet, of course, it's perfect to also, you know, bolster the other deals that Bill Gates is working on in regard to artificial life. Isn't that interesting? This is very disgusting stuff, but of course, it's normalized. Now, one other point I want to make before I move on to something else in this regard that I think is really interesting, and I only bring this up to make a very clear point in this. There is an obvious, and when I say obvious, I mean like in every sense of the word, painfully, glaring, screaming red obvious. Like this is so very clear that this is a childish, elementary manipulation. If you've seen this already, top aide shares scathing cartoon of Dr. Fauci after White House denies efforts to discredit the expert, right? So it's the beginning is where one of the White House individuals tweets out something that says hashtag fire Fauci, and they act like, oh, we didn't, it wasn't in the meaning to do that. We just were sharing the, like, I mean, how stupid do you think we are? The point of doing that was to give a nod to the people in Trump's corner who believe that he secretly sees the same things they're talking about while he works with Dr. Fauci, right? It's a way to be like, oh, he's 4D chessing everybody and he's playing the enemies against each other and keep your enemies closer and, you know, whatever. Meanwhile, he's doing the very thing that they say is the bad thing, but it's all because he's trying to fight, whatever, right? So when they put that out and Trump pretends like it wasn't anything he even realized, it's insulting to your intelligence. You got to be pretty, that's a special kind of stupid to not realize that's very painfully obvious. But then it happens again. Now we've got another top aide sharing a cartoon and in fact, point blank saying, oh, I think this one refreshed like all the mainstream media means to do. I had something on here. It says in regard to the person himself, I can't see, it's not in here now. Anyway, the individual, the aide we're talking about, it wasn't an accident. He very clearly talked about Dr. Fauci and he called him, they turn off that faucet. They're calling him Dr. Fawcett because of the meme or whatever. And he's saying, turn off the faucet. He is very clearly calling out Dr. Fauci. Now, let's be clear. I'm obviously on the side of the fact that I think he's part of this problem, but I think so is Donald Trump. They're all part of this problem. But the thing is, are we going to pretend like that's not a concerted effort? Because now the White House is saying, well, that wasn't a, we're not putting out a cartoon that disparages him that says that he should be, that we should get rid of him and turn him off. But that doesn't mean we're discrediting him. How dumb are people? I mean, it's so clear they're trying to play both sides of the argument, right? He wants the people to think he's actually working to fight the illness, to think that he's working with Fauci. He wants the other side to think that he's secretly fighting them while he's funding everything and doing, and he's pushing these things along and supporting the vaccines. It's unreal. And this is what happens when you're lost in the two-party paradigm. You can't see anything past your own nose. You only hear what they're telling you, what Q's posting, what Biden's talking about, what Pelosi says. You can't see the reality that they're very clearly trying to get you to think that they're on some kind of page while they're actually pushing this all along. If you can't see that, I can't help you because this is so painfully, insultingly obvious. But that was the point to show you that, so you realize that. But also, here's another point in regard to the whole Trump tie-in. Interestingly, and very weird connection with Trump and his agendas and what he's done in regard to the creating this whole thing, including things like the Defense Production Act or the original Declaration of Emergency that created the whole damn thing. Now we have things like this. It's an article from Raul Diego. It's a really great article. Texting app with ties to Trump campaign to be repurposed for contact tracing. Now, of course, you could pretend like this has nothing to do with Trump, and it may not, but this is a Trump app that was used with his campaign that when it first was made was alarming. But because they believed in Trump, they were happy to give up way more access to their personal information than even Apple and anybody else was taking, right? Those same people would have screamed about their privacy if it was coming from Apple. But when Trump asked for it, they handed it right over. That's what it's meant to do, right? When you blindly trust someone, the savior complex, the things that you thought you were fighting for no longer matter because you've chosen to trust your chosen leader. But as it says, a person-to-person mobile app developed by a Ukrainian military veteran, funded by the American hedge fund magnate and close associate of Cambridge Analytica. Fantastic, right? The most nefariously, I mean, Cambridge Analytica, of all groups, tied in with the idea of Russiagate, is one of the people that's working with this app that come, I mean, it's just, can we not see the strings that tie all this stuff together? But it says that it's been rebranded and repurposed to serve as a contact tracing tool in the fight against COVID-19 pandemic and public safety emergencies such as hurricanes and other natural disasters. Right. So you realize that what he's pointing out there, Raul is saying that not only are they going to use it for COVID-19, but they're going to just contact tracing is just for whatever emergency moving forward. Right. So that thing they sold you was only about fighting COVID-19 just becomes, oh, well, now we've got riots. We'll contact tracing. Right. But please continue telling me that it was only about COVID-19. Now, it says effectively railroading the public into mass adoption of digital products created by companies with questionable track records, using fear to push in these agendas. Every single aspect of this. Now, it's called You Campaign. This is as the original app was called, had been built for Donald Trump and his 2016 successful run for the presidency. It brought in, quote, more results and had a bigger impact than Clinton's smartphone app, and for far less cost to the campaign, according to Thomas Peters, founder of the company which developed the app. Now, he parlayed his success into contracts with the NRA, Ted Cruz's own presidential campaign, and Brexit. Now, he decided to retool You Campaign, and it's now called Rumble Up. And it's been accepted into the FirstNet app catalog, which has very interesting ties to the first responders and the government activity and everything, right? Tied in with the whole thing. It's, as they put it, a library of secure applications that can be used by more than 12,000 public safety agencies, which enables first responders, quote, to directly text people on the ground in support of COVID-19 testing and contact tracing efforts. But under the title Cambridge Analytica Redo, it says privacy concerns have been raised by the British Parliamentary Committee, which looked into the Cambridge Analytica Facebook scandal and its disinformation and fake news reports, which, by the way, were used to create this massive campaign against independent news and all kinds of things, which were completely fake. All of the media that happily parroted that and happily pointed to it, and some of them still do, they're still in their positions. They're still working their jobs. They're still praised as the best journalists by the inner circle of blind elitists. But the point is they were wrong, and they're still wrong, and they're still there. It needs to show you something. But it says, it mentions You Campaign's very liberal attitude to sharing the personal data of its app users. The app was utilized by the Trump campaign to go absolutely granular, it says. And it's in the words of the You Campaign founder himself. And remember, this is the person who founded it with in regard to Trump's campaign. So yes, it's been repurposed, and yes, they're using it for a different thing now. But this is during Trump's administration, when contact tracing is running rampant, so that's being allowed, as well as the fact it's the same guy who founded it and worked on You Campaign with Trump. And at that time, he said it was absolutely granular. He says, quote, when it was being used for Trump supporters, if users download the app and agree to share their address books, including phone numbers and emails. This is from a Business Insider article. It says the app then shoots the data to a third-party vendor, which looks for matches to existing voter information. So it just basically grabs up all your information. It's stated right on the app and then cross-references with everybody else, and it creates a network. And this is okay. It's okay with Trump supporters because they think Trump is the good guy, right? But if this was Obama doing it, that's not privacy, right? It's unjustified, right? It's just, it's ridiculous because they've chosen to trust somebody. Oh, by the way, all that information, that'll be there for whoever gets elected next. So good luck with that. Now it says Ramble Up, the next generation version of You Campaign enjoys the advantage of all such person-to-person technologies in the FCC regulations. They have essentially have yet to catch up with modern times, it says. The 1991 Telephone Consumer Protection Act fails to account for smartphones. And because of the nature of person-to-person messaging, opt-in consent requirements that govern activities like auto dialers don't apply. So they're taking advantage of a lack of our own governmental authorities to catch up with these. And I argue that's obviously intentional. Right? With things they care about, if it has to do with Israel's security, well, it takes two days and we got turnaround, new bills passing. Let's get them $3.8 billion in the middle of a pandemic, right? Of course, when it has to do with something from 1991 that affects these companies' ability to manipulate you, who cares, right? We'll get to it at some point. Now, this loophole has been a boon, it says, for companies trading in data and a detriment to the people whose data is being harvested, you, and used for all kinds of undisclosed purposes. Ramble Up's privacy policy make just very clear. It's stating outright that virtually any user's data will be collected, quote, including without limitation, names, telephone numbers, emails, and social media handles, in addition to geolocation information as provided by our phones, by other mobile devices. By the way, if you're a Trump supporter and you've already downloaded the app, well, they already have all that, right? So good luck. On top of that, it's now being used in conjunction with contact tracing. Pretty damn interesting, wouldn't you say? In a way, you can almost feel like you were sold out by the Trump campaign. Now, of course, that's not an attack on Trump. I think all of our government would happily sell you out, Democrat or Republican. Hopefully you can wake up to that reality. Now, it says all data collected will also be provided to third parties to perform functions on our behalf. That's all it says. That's a direct quote. And of course, they go on to cite basically no examples. So it's whatever on our behalf means and whatever that means in the action sense. We're going to take that data and sell it and use it and do whatever we want. Now, it says, given the fact that there is still no regulatory framework that covers person-to-person communications or many of the new technologies being aggregated under this recently created agency, apps like Ramble Up and their direct ties to political power is enough to be concerned about. 100%. It is essentially concerning. Especially concerning, however, that these unregulated technologies are being rolled out on a national level under the guise of public safety in the midst of a pandemic, right? These things that in other senses we would have been at least slightly resistant to, using fear to facilitate adoption and delaying any limitations on corporate power until the system is firmly in place. Even if you think this was a genuine intention, realize they're using the current circumstance in order to push this in with little to no debate, with no resistance at all. It's not even your choice, right? I mean, if we got police departments literally assassinating people from outside their home while they're sleeping, such as Lemp, I forget his first name. His last name was L-E-M-P. They just shoot him from outside his home in the middle of the night because somebody anonymously called and said he had a gun. Guess what? He didn't have a gun. They shot him through his window next to his pregnant wife, killed him in his own bed through the outside window. Does that sound like, investigating a gun? Or does it sound like an assassination during a pandemic? Well, guess what? People tried to protest. They made them get back in their homes because of the pandemic. I wonder how much we'll care about Duncan Lemp was his name when this all goes away. And then we're, quote, allowed to protest again. Oh, of course, unless it's for Black Lives Matter. Well, then go ahead, right? Because that makes sense. You're all being fooled. And more alarming technology here. As this says, a Swedish rail company. Remember these things that aren't happening because we're all conspiracy theorists? Well, here's a Swedish rail company, as you can see right on her arm, her hand, right there. Swaps paper tickets for embedded microchips. Sweden, as usual, leading the way, and this is his opinion, in the clown world. Happily enslaved for convenience, comfort. This is how they will package chipping the population. It will be cool and trendy to naive youth. Exactly. They are doing this right now. This is all in another language, so it's not. This is the microchip implant technology is quite. I'm not going to read it, but the point is, this is happening. They are pushing this right now, and in Sweden, they're actually implanting chips into you in regard to railway, right? Like transportation, not a business, not a job, general transportation. This is step one. It is coming. They are rolling it out, just like we told you they were. And this is coming your way. But if you're going to stand back and pretend like it's crazy, or it won't go past that, or they'll never force it on you, just like they, quote, never did in the past, but every single time it's come to that, and those people who said they weren't going to do it simply moved on to the next justification, well, then you just better accept it now. Just say, I'm okay with them forcing this down my throat, or rather, into my hand. I'm okay with that, because I find it irresponsible to disagree with your government in any case. Right? That's probably what you're thinking if you feel that way. Because they have what's been, they have our best interest at heart, right? If you truly believe that's the case, then just like the masks, you are simply not looking at the science, or in this case, the evidence that is rampant to show that they not only do not care about your interests, but will actually do things at the expense of those interests. Literally use you to achieve their goals, which is literally where we are now. And as I kind of mentioned on Twitter, here's another one. Cashless society. It's happening everywhere. I mean, I'll just show you this first. This is the one that I personally saw. I took this myself. I shared this on Twitter underneath, I think it was Jake Morfonio shared one that he saw too. And I just said, here, I saw one as well. But weirdly enough, I'm not seeing any of them that say the same thing as mine. That it actually says contactless payment, right? So it says due to a shortage of coins from the Federal Reserve. Why, first of all? Why? Are we really going to pretend like all this is happening because of coronavirus? Like that there's not an ability to transfer these things? Right? I mean, it's still definitely happening. Like people are still, if they wanted to get these things there, they could 100% do that. This is artificial. And as it says, Federal Reserve, but it says, if possible, please pay with exact change, use credit card, debit, or contactless payment. But ask me, answer this for me. What is contactless payment? Anybody? Do you guys have some form of contactless payment at your stores? I don't. I'm either giving them cash, entering my card, touching the buttons, or some variation thereof. I'm touching, there's no, whether it's debit, credit, anything, it's all touch. The point is it's about contactless payment. They're just starting you on it now. So when they go to cards and then it goes to the next, the point, I think they said this and they probably weren't supposed to. It's because that is what they're going for. They're going for this kind of contactless payment. The kind that's inserted into your arm, that you can wave over a sensor and that can pay for you. Guys, that's what this is. You go into the rail company and you just wave your arm over it and you already have credits on there and you can go on the rail company and you don't have to pull out cash. So although, I know there are at least some people right now watching this going, that's so crazy. You're so crazy. as we're watching it happen in Sweden. Like, it's just so crazy that people can't accept the reality. But as this is happening, it's being forced in everywhere. I mean, this is across the board. Here's a corn shortage. And this is what's funny is it's being framed here as only Walmart. Corn shortage strikes Walmart. Customers required to pay with card. So required to pay with card. Notice they don't say contactless payment there. It's interesting, right? But it's not just Walmart. It's everywhere. Every single place I've been, it has the same sign. So they all have been contacted by somebody, probably the bank they go through, and the banks were contacted by you know who, and they were told to tell us that they don't have the money they need, so we need to use this and use that. Okay, fine. Whether the banks are even involved, at the top of the line, this has been something they've been talking about, have been aiming for, have been trying to achieve for decades. And because of COVID-19, bingo, don't need to wait any longer. And just the question is really whether or not you're going to allow yourself to see what's really happening. That's what this all really comes down to. And of course, if you think that though, you're also crazy, as we said before. But don't worry though, because the British military, they figured out a way to correct wrong think, right? Right out of 1984 with machine learning. The study was contracted as a part of DASA's efforts to help the UK mod develop its behavioral analytics capability. It's all for your own good, right? As it says, disinformation, as pointed out in Event 201, was one of the main focal points. Well, we know there's going to be fake news and conspiracy theorists, and we have to stop that. So yeah, even in the exercise, they were like, who cares about constitutional rights, right? Because we know, even in our hypothetical fear-based scenario, we don't care about rights. That's not important. Do you realize how clear that is? It's like we want to create the situation that we can use to justify the idea that rights no longer matter. Hey, we even did it in our practice run. And it says, disinformation has become a central feature of the COVID-19 crisis, posing a risk to democratic societies worldwide. Which ones are you talking about, right? I don't see many democratic societies anymore today. By increasing public mistrust in governments and public authorities. Oh, so we did that, right? So we're the ones that lied about WMDs. We're the ones that made up lies about Viagra and rape in Libya. We're the ones that made up the fake story about babies in incubators in Iraq. And we made up the story about the lie in Duma and the false flag and the OPCW. And we made up the lie about overthrowing Bolivia and the fake election that was really a military coup. And we made up the lie about Venezuela. And on and on and on and on. And it's all our fault, right? We're the ones by telling you, and it's Assange's fault, right? It's Assange's fault for telling you the truth about your government, right? That's actually what they're saying. We are posing a risk to their control by showing you who these people are. That's what that translates into. And they can't allow the mistrust in the government because that stops them from allowing their agenda to be succeed, right? So they, if we don't trust them fully, well, they won't get everyone to take the vaccine, and that's what they need. So we are the bad guys by showing you studies, right? By showing you literal studies from the CDC, from the NIH, I'm creating distrust in the government, which makes me a problem. So that makes me dangerous, according to them. And guess what? Machine learning could help counter that. Here's your study. You can read it for yourself. Human-machine detection of online-based malign information. This is some really scary stuff. They've always been doing this, but this stuff is being fast-tracked into real life more than I've ever seen in my life. AI-based technocratic control networks, most of which seems tied right back to Israel's government. You look into that for yourself. But the idea that these are going to then decide whether or not what you're saying is good or bad, as opposed to just you having a right to say what you think, right? But that doesn't matter anymore, right? All these high-minded discussion about how rights and constitutional and all, you know, we care about your Second Amendment. Oh, okay, that all those things mattered right up until they no longer cared at all. So are we going to pretend like it was that quick? Right? That they truly cared about your rights and then suddenly because COVID, they just said, well, now I don't care at all. Or are you going to realize that they never cared to begin with? That all they did was no-toe to you and say, look, we care, we care, we care. And then the moment that they had the opportunity to prove it to you, they did what was beneficial to them and their agenda. And then they gave you some excuse about why it was the Democrats that wouldn't let them or the Republicans, you know, whatever. It's time for us to wake the hell up and see that this has always been the case. That they will continue to do this as long as you're willing to play in to their very, very ridiculous and transparent two-party illusion. Because it makes you feel comfortable. Because it makes you feel like you're winning. Makes you feel like you're on the winning side. Or because it makes you feel like you're part of something. It's all based on your insecurities and based on your willingness to be led, to have a savior. Decades and decades and centuries of social engineering. Wouldn't you rather think for yourself? I mean, it just seems like a basic no-brainer. But of course, on top of everything else, even people who are speaking up, doctors, are also being shut down. Now, I'm only pointing to this to make my next point, because this is a great article by Off Guardian. National Health Services consultant says staff are being silenced over COVID-19. Now, apparently the article is from an anonymous post that somebody wrote. So for that purpose, I'll leave it in there for you to read, but I can't verify. And they said the same thing. Off Guardian said the same thing. And we can't verify it. So it's relevant because it aligns with other things we've seen. So it's up to you. So you can read it, but let's just be very clear. I just put this video up today. This is Dr. Adil from the National Health Services in the UK, right? He made a video saying exactly what he thinks based on the science, which, by the way, is backed up by other science that we keep showing you, saying that this stuff is being, even things that we have verified, the fact, like he's saying in the quote you can see right there, where they're testing things for heart attack and showing us positive for COVID-19. We've already shown this to you. And we've also shown you that he's also being attacked, that he's been suspended. So what's wrong? What's incorrect about that, right? I mean, here's the National Health Service system, excuse me, is it service or system? Either way, in the UK, the consultant for the national health system being silenced. It's an anonymous post by somebody saying, I'm being silenced and here's why it's happening. But here is an actual real world example of Dr. Adil saying what he thinks and saying that they're being, and then him being silenced. So let's be clear that this is, whether this is true or not, it's 100% happening. There are doctors that are choosing to stand up and say, this is what's happening. Here's why I believe it based on my decades of education and research in this field. And they're being removed and suspended and suppressed and shut down. Again, go on telling yourself that that's freedom. Hopefully you'll watch this video for yourself, one that I've already shown you. But I felt this was important to point out as well. Like, remember Dr. Riedel saying that, hey, these intubators or these ventilators are killing people, right? Doctors like this are speaking out and saying, these things aren't working. It's not proper. They're trying to deal with something that they don't understand, right? They're trying to force in the square peg into the round hole because that's all they understand. Well, 54 Florida hospital ICUs, 54 have reached capacity. As Miami-Dade County reports COVID-19 ventilator use up 92%. I mean, I couldn't believe my eyes. So as we know that ventilators are killing upwards of 90% of the people that use them. But of course, they're pretending that's just because COVID-19 is so severe, despite doctors like Riedel pointing out that that's what's happening, that they're not, that the ventilators are killing people. And we're still right now, understand, that was what, a month ago, the month and a half that we talked about that? And still right this moment, they're forcing people on ventilators. And in Miami, Dade County, they're up 92%. So let's not, I mean, is that a guaranteed death sentence? Is that a guarantee way to see the deaths rise? Well, how much you want to bet we're going to see a corresponding death increase in Miami-Dade County? It's the last thing I want to see. But you tell me when you see it, and I'll report it. Because 92% increase in the very thing that we're seeing is actually causing a problem because they're not dealing with what they think they are is absolutely absurd. And instead of recognizing that they're having a very clear, documented negative effect, they're just going to keep doing what they're told. Because that is how this medical system has been bastardized over the years, dating back to the 19th century, or the early 1900s with Rockefeller and Carnegie, where they took control of our medical system with the Flexner Report and drove it into a petrochemical system. Despite the fact that Rockefeller himself used a homeopath until the day he died. Right? It's good for them. But you get the oil-based chemical drugs. Same idea today where they're forcing this in, despite the fact that they know it's not safe. But don't worry, because if that doesn't work, well, there's always the next virus, guys. It's always the next one around the corner. Worse than COVID-19? Well, I don't know. China and Kazakhstan disagree over the new virus. Now, I'm not trying to say that these things, I mean, the fact that this is even being pushed in the view is because they just need you to know that, oh, well, maybe you're not buying the COVID thing, but there's plenty more of them out there. So you just need to listen to us because we know what's right for you, right? We know what's best because we're better than you. And even, I know you like your constitutional rights, But when it comes down to it, if you're not doing the right thing, we're going to make you do the right thing for the betterment of everybody, or really the betterment of us, is what they're saying. It's just crazy that we can keep going through this rigmarole over and over and over, day in and day out. Now, one more thing I want to point out on the COVID before I get into some foreign policy to finish today. Something I found really, really interesting that you might have seen. There's been this talk, and I haven't really seen much around it other than coming from very clear pro-Trump kind of outlets. There's apparently a defector from China that I couldn't really confirm outside of, you know, intelligence sources that's apparently left the lab and was going to blow all the whistle. You know, I mean, just think about everything about this before I even get into it. It seems like a wildly desperate attempt to keep clinging to the narrative they painted for you in the first month this started. Like, you don't realize how ridiculous that is, that they can tell you from the beginning that China knew and China did it and it's all this and it's all that. And somehow they knew that right in the beginning, right? Before anybody knew anything was even going on. And, you know, like in the sense that we now know, right? But that was at the time when we all also knew that there was something going on. Yet they also then said that it was because China didn't tell them, even though they knew. I mean, I'm going to jump ahead because I'm going to make some points I'm going to make in this article, such as the idea that the World Health Organization was working there, which was using U.S. personnel at the time this was going on. But let's pretend like they didn't have anybody there on scene. Right? They had no idea what was going on, even though they had people that were there. I mean, it's a joke. But as he says in this article, people are going to be shocked. Bannon claims Wuhan lab employees have defected, are working with the FBI. Now, maybe that's true. But realize that it ultimately doesn't mean anything when you understand that everything that was happening in that lab was being facilitated by the U.S. government in conjunction with Chinese government. But the material came from North Carolina University. The lab was built by the French. And I'm telling you, the U.S. government was involved in this. Individuals from the NIH and the CDC, from the U.S. government, were involved in the lab. They were involved with the research. They were funding the research. So what are we talking about here? Right? I mean, it's just crazy. The idea that we could then just pretend that no, even if it is from that it only reflects on the Chinese government is just, it's you're choosing to omit half of the story. Which, of course, is what people do when they don't want to see their own person get caught. Now, as he says, a 66-year-old then said that, oh, excuse me, he's talking about him. Bannon said that the defectors are cooperating with intelligence agencies in America. Right. So now we're believing the intelligence agencies, right? The same entities, which is funny, by the way, I bet you that the left in this scenario will suddenly now believe them, even though, or actually, I mean, in reverse, I mean, right? That's what we're talking about, where now this is the right, the same group that's been pointing to the idea that the same entities, whether the FBI or any of these groups, I mean, the FBI in particular, were the groups that were going after Trump in regard to Russiagate. Yeah, but suddenly when the FBI now has information that may seems to point to China, well, now we can trust them. Why? Because our agenda lines up. Who cares if we've been saying they've been corrupt and lied to us this whole time? Well, now because we're bad guy China and we're all losing sight of the Russiagate lie, well, let's just point to China and now we're on the same side again. And of course, there'll be some narrative about how Trump actually took control of the FBI again and he removed it, even though it's exactly the same thing as it always was. It's always an easy lie to tell you this is what happened because Q said or because somebody on a post said. Defectors are cooperating with the same entities that we should not be trusting about anything, so we're told, according to Bannon, who also probably shouldn't be trusted in this regard, which have been assembling evidence to challenge the CCP claim that the pandemic originated in the wet market. Right, so that was the... Understand that that claim was forced in far more by the U.S. government than it was by China, but they ultimately both agreed on it. Not in a lab home to scientists who have come under fire for manipulating bat coronaviruses to be more transmissible to humans, right? He's talking about the, he's only pointing at the Chinese government when he's saying that. That scientists came under fire for manipulating bat coronaviruses to be more transmissible to humans. That is the U.S. government research. That was happening long before it went to Wuhan. That was then also happening in Wuhan with the U.S. government involvement. So when he's stupidly saying that these scientists, these Chinese scientists, and they're getting caught and come under fire for their crazy actions, he leaves out that the U.S. government was funding that and doing it with them. How do you not say that? You do. You know, you don't say that when you're trying to create a propaganda narrative. But also realize that the U.S. government was working with coronavirus and bats well back in, I mean, 2013, 12, I mean, there's different studies. We've shown you these things. Then they said in 2014, the virus is too dangerous. And even though they kept doing it, by the way, we've proven this in Fort Detrick, but then they moved it over to China and kept doing it. Right? I mean, it's just so ridiculous to pretend like any of this is so such a slam dunk only against one side. As always, it's all of these governments probably doing this against all of us. And the reality is you have one side of the two-party paradigm that's stopping half of you from seeing it. So it keeps going over and over and over. But here's one thing I found really interesting. He says the thing was built with French help, which is what I was pointing out. But he says, so you don't think that there aren't some monitoring devices in there? He says, I think what you're going to find out is that these guys were doing experiments which they weren't fully authorized to do. Or knew what they were doing, and that somehow, either through the inadvertent mistake or lab technician, one of these things got out. Now, realize how crazy that is. First of all, how can you suggest that the French somehow had monitoring devices that were in there since when they built the building? That's what he's saying. They built it, so it's probably French monitoring devices. So then, are you arguing that the French have, that they know from the very beginning? Or somehow that they are knowing yet but not saying anything? Like, if they had insight into this building from the beginning, what's the big secret? We would all know right now. Like, that's a very self-serving narrative to give some kind of lofty suggestion that, don't worry, wink, wink, there's going to be more insight because the French have listening devices. But doesn't that, I mean, that counters itself when you look at the larger narrative. But then he goes on to say that these guys, I think what you're going to find out is these guys were doing experiments which weren't fully authorized. So you mean the U.S. government and the Chinese government were doing things they weren't allowed to do? Well, we all know that already, but that's not what he's saying. He's specifically saying only the Chinese people there were doing things they weren't supposed to do. But that ignores the fact that he had CDC people there, that they had Fort Detrick people, they had Pentagon people there. And we know that the World Health Organization was working out of that location when this first started and that they had U.S. personnel there from the beginning. Oh, you didn't know all that? I wonder, maybe you missed all that in Bannon's artfully reductive statement in choosing to omit all of the things that reflect back on the U.S. government and Donald Trump's administration. Somehow, either through an inadvertent mistake or a technician, right? Well, the Wuhan lab, as far as I can tell, hasn't had any verifiable leaks. I bet you they have, just haven't seen them. As I keep saying, Fort Detrick, on the other hand, has had one leak every 3 days for 7 years, according to their own information, admitted by the Pentagon. And they had one leak right before this actually began. So yeah, that sounds like an inadvertent mistake that they then covered up and said national security, and people are getting sick all around Fort Detrick and nobody talks about it. But yeah, let's point over there where there's no such evidence, where all we have is a location and the claim that that's where it started and the fact that they worked on it there. But so there's multiple locations that worked on this, and there's locations that did work on it that also had an outbreak right before this started. But let's pretend like that's not relevant. It says, quote, you essentially had a biological Chernobyl in Wuhan, but the center of gravity, the ground zero, was around the Wuhan lab in terms of the casualty rates. And like Chernobyl, you also had the cover-up. I mean, this is a personal opinion based on nothing but subjective thoughts. This is a hypothetical statement. First of all, it's not the epicenter, as we keep saying. But even the idea that they had the most casualties, that's just simply not true. Look at, I mean, the United States right now is... I mean, this is based on the argument that they would then say, well, we know China lied about it. Okay, so your argument is because we claim they lied about the numbers, that then automatically means that they had way more than we have now. Well, there's a lot of assumption in there, as usual. The bottom line, as I'm saying, is not that one's right or one's wrong, is that we don't know, as always. But people like this will happily scream at you that they know the truth. Trust them, sort of just like the government. Now, he says, regardless of whether it came out of the market or the Wuhan lab, the Chinese Communist Party's subsequent decisions hold them guilty of premeditated murder. Good God, really? So their decisions that they claim the intent about is saying is premeditated murder. And all of it comes back to this one thing. Let it, you know, thanks, Twitter. Load for me. There we go. Now it says, we know this because Taiwan formally informed the World Health Organization on December 31st that there was some sort of epidemic coming out of the Hubei province. It's Wuhan. Okay, so right there, remember. So if they informed the World Health Organization, that means that American personnel who were there also knew. Okay, so... are we then going to pretend that the personnel who work at the World Health Organization, whose entire job is to investigate these kind of things, would not immediately report back to the U.S. government? If you think that, you're ridiculous. So on December 31st, when they informed the World Health Organization, they also informed the U.S. government, who was well aware of everything they were finding out. Okay, then it says the CDC in Beijing was informed on January 2nd or 3rd. And they decided to withhold, that's his opinion, that information, and then sign a trade deal. First of all, are we going to pretend like the U.S. government wouldn't do the exact same damn thing, if that is accurate? Use the situation that they still weren't fully aware of what was actually happening, or at least that's the narrative, right? Unless they were all involved, right? The idea is that this was just happening, people were dealing with it, and this was right when it started, so we're told, even though it technically started long before this. The idea is that they just suddenly... came into being with it. So then days later, they're supposed to have everything figured out and have all the direct statements. Like, that's what they're actually claiming. And that they're saying because they didn't immediately say what we now know today, that they were withholding that information and it was because they wanted to sign a deal. Now, even if that is true, again, that's exactly the kind of thing the U.S. government has made a matter of practice. Such as, you know, using fake diplomacy acts to lure people to airports and then assassinate them, right? Totally legitimate. Right, this is exactly the kind of thing that they would do. Now it says, if they had been straightforward and truthful in the last week of December, 95%, he says, of the lives lost, 95, and the economic carnage would have been contained. So the economic carnage that was created by the shutdown that happened long after this, it was because they didn't tell you what you think they knew in the matter of a week? Like, do you not realize how stupid that is? Like, that is the most pathetic attempt to put blame on somebody else. Now, I'm not saying, I think all of these people are responsible in their own way. The way China responded to this was horrifying. But to suggest that this, I mean, and to suggest that we know this is the definition of irresponsible. I'm saying I don't know. We don't know. Because this is what they keep pointing to. January 14th, they put this out and said, they found no clear evidence of human-to-human transmission. Preliminary investigations. Okay, so that means that this is our assessment so far. And then very shortly afterward, they came back and said, okay, we did find it. Okay, so they claim that right there. I mean, look, even Mark Dice just puts oops. Oops to what? Like, that's just simply ignorant. You are making a mountain out of a molehill on purpose. It's because it works for their agenda. Now, am I saying that that's not what China did? No, I'm not. I'm saying that there's no way anybody could know that that was their intention, especially with such a small window, especially since that's something that anybody would do in any normal situation. You could point to any other places around the world that went through similar transitions, and they didn't just rush out and say it within the first 10 seconds they saw it. They waited to investigate and find out further. Which is funny, if they would have rushed out and said the wrong thing, they also would have been completely, I mean, it's what they were trying to do, is attack them in every way that they can. But again, his point is that they're talking about December 31st. So because Taiwan reached out and told the World Health Organization like a week after this was first talked about, and apparently even as far as the U.S. government was told, was concerned and were being told, they didn't even know yet because China hadn't told them yet, right? So they still didn't even know because they just do nothing. They just stand around with their thumb in their mouth until somebody else tells them what's going on, even though all the social media is abuzz and everyone's talking about it. But Trump just didn't even know because China didn't tell him. Okay, so on the 31st, though, Taiwan, who still only knows very limited information, tells the World Health Organization what they know. And because that wasn't immediately parroted as the exact absolute fact, that's them hiding something. What did they hide? The World Health Organization knew. Like, this is such a ridiculous, bastardized narrative. And to claim that that small period of time, which was completely unverified and the information was still being developed, and even then, again, and to point out the U.S. is claiming that they didn't even know, he's saying 95% of the lives lost and the economic carnage would have been canceled. This is an easy way to remove Trump of all responsibility. To remove him of anything. It's the only reason any bad things happened, the only reason his amazing economy was struggling, is because China didn't tell us. It's like we're in kindergarten all over again. It's his fault, right? You just blame anybody that's next to you. And as they point out in the article at the bottom, one has to wonder if China will respond with whistleblowers from Fort Detrick, right? Exactly. Of course, they're saying that in the case to disparage China, because we know China's the liar. That's how Zero Hedge tends to frame these things lately. But the idea is, I don't know why one is more legitimate than the other. I argue that the data around Fort Detrick is far more relevant. But putting that aside for a moment, having China produce whistleblowers and having the U.S. produce whistleblowers, both of them saying the other one's at fault, none of it should mean anything. These people will lie to you at the drop of a hat. But of course, that's why they put people like Bannon out there, to get followings and to get them emotionally invested and to get trust. And then they push on the narrative. The narrative that it's all China bad guys' fault and nothing Trump did was in any way the fault of all the actions we're experiencing. Even the things that happened months and months and months afterward. Very self-serving. But I find it interesting to also point out, in the same regard, is it China's fault that the U.S. government is spreading this still? That they're marching into Okinawa and not taking precautions in a place that only had 147 cases and now they're having an outbreak because the military from the U.S. government brought it there, right? Is that China's fault? Obviously not. Coronavirus outbreak at U.S. bases in Japan roils an uneasy relationship. Now, it says very clearly the U.S. Marine Corps, which had about 20,000 troops stationed on the island, which, by the way, nobody in the people of Japan actually want that there, reported 94 confirmed cases. Now, it says Okinawa has recorded only 148. More than half of their entire time is just in this one experience from because of the U.S. government. And now it's continuing to spread because of this. Because this was on the 13th, right? I mean, today's the 15th for two more days, and it's reportedly getting worse. Now it says Mr. Tamaki added that he had strong doubts about the prevention measures reported by the United States. I reported before. The United States military in South Korea also announced on Monday that 11 troops tested positive. So in South Korea, they're also spreading it around. The Japanese military, by contrast, has reported only 14 cases amongst its entire forces, all of whom are thought to have contacted the virus in their communities rather than while deployed. Citizens have long complained, as I said before, of noise, crime, aircraft accidents, have repeatedly questioned why nearly half of the 55,000, I don't know why I keep doing that, 55,000 American troops in Japan, which include personnel from all of the military branches, are stationed on Okinawa. Now, it says Okinawa, the assembly demanded more information from the Marine Corps. Now, it said, when anything like this happens, when the military doesn't provide essential information of how many people are infected or where they are from or where they have been outside the base, the Okinawan people are really scared and frustrated and disappointed. Right? Realize how this is the kind of thing they're doing all around the world. So not only are they occupying your territory, but they're not even caring to keep you in the loop. So they bring in illness with all these people. And understand, this is the case here. Right? They brought this into Japan that was already clearly doing well with this. And they're not even letting them know. They're not even letting the people know, well, oh, here's where we went, so you can actively fight this. Does that not sound like an effort to actually help it spread? Or at the very least, just an apathy or almost disdain for these people to just be like, well, we don't even care about you enough to tell you what we deal with. That sounds like the way they deal with Iraq right now. Now it says Okinawans, the Japanese people, have a right to know about infections stemming from their bases, and they're just not telling them anything. Governor Tamaki said he was concerned that the soldiers had spread infections during the celebrations on July 4th. He said there's information that U.S. forces and personnel went out to the nightlife districts and had beach parties outside the base. So clearly, right? So they're forcing control measures on you here at home to where you can't leave your house in some places. You can't go to the park. You can't get, yet American soldiers are going in other countries and just throwing caution to the wind. No, so I'm not, again, understand, I'm not telling them or even suggesting they should. I'm just saying, look at the contrast. Where we're being forced to these things here, and yet our military is not caring about it in other places. Having parties that then result in spreads of the virus. Do you not realize how crazy that is? It shows you, one, that they don't care about these people at all, and two, that they probably don't even care about keeping these military personnel safe. Now, again, the point is measures were instituted over the weekend. Now, after. Yeah, go out and have your beach parties and go out to the nightlife and spread it all over, and then we'll institute some measures. It's crazy. It says through contact trace, though contact tracing is ongoing. Oh, you know, now contact tracing spreading all through Japan. Let's pretend like that's not the point. To identify and isolate those who may have come in contact with the infected personnel. So basically the entire city of Okinawa is now going to be contact traced. Again, let's pretend like that's not the point. Anyone on or off base identified as having been in contact with an infected or suspected infected individual will be notified. So not only infected, so anyone who was even possibly in contact or suspected to be in contact with the infected person, then people who are suspected to, and then one step further. As I keep saying, it basically amounts to everybody. Free testing to anyone who is concerned. Don't worry. So far, the hospital has tested 130 since news of the base outbreaks. Just pretty crazy to see that this is happening. And speaking of foreign policy, since this is, you know, a very important aspect of what's going on today that's getting very little attention, we already showed you that there was, what, like 7 explosions over the process of 5 days in Iran that no one wants to talk about, that we've been trying to point out at least on 2 different shows now. This is an open attack from the U.S. government and Israel. Right this moment, there's an active cyber war that's causing real-world explosions and attacks in Iran right this moment. But I guess because it's cyber attack, they pretend like that doesn't matter, despite the fact that it's causing massive explosions that are hurting people. But guess what? On top of that, today, 7 ships just catch fire in the port, in Iranian port of Bushehr. Yeah, they just randomly catch fire. You know, it's not an ongoing effort to continually attack Iran under the guise of COVID-19, and using cyber attacks or whatever this is. These 7 ships just catch fire, right? It's ridiculous. But this is part of the same thing, right? And here's the point: as Sputnik points out, a vehicle to strike back. Secret Trump orders gave the CIA wide authority to wage cyber war, according to a report from Yahoo News. And this is a new report from Yahoo News. Claims that the Trump administration has given almost unprecedented leeway to the Central Intelligence Agency. Again, think about the intelligence community versus Trump and Russiagate, but yet they work together when it worked, right? It's an illusion, guys. If you're fighting against each other right and left, you're being fooled. as in multiple different ways right now, the Trump administration's actively working with the very people that his own supporters are pretending are trying to take him out. But of course, they pretend like this is the good guy part of the CIA and the good guy part of the FBI. So it's the white hats. Right. That makes sense because they're two separate entities, right? And they equally work differently in their own. This is so ridiculous. They're obviously the FBI and the CIA, and there's a hierarchy. So it's not just some divide between good and bad. As much as that simplistic narrative works really well for them to sell. The idea is that he's actively working with them right now and gave them unprecedented leeway in order to carry out cyber attacks against foreign countries. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like when he first got elected and he allowed the military to, you know, carry out massive drops of bombs without even calling him first. So he finds out they dropped the largest non-nuclear bomb in Afghanistan and they call him and let him know after it happened. Which, by the way, when I first told somebody that I know they supported him that happened, they said, fake news. He would never let that happen. And then I sent him the article and they go, well, it makes sense because this. Well, it's exactly what I keep showing you. It's fake news up until find out it's real. And then they give you the equivocation, right? Well, how could it have been fake news if now it makes sense to you, right? It's because it'll always make sense as long as you're supporting your chosen savior. But it says, unprecedented leeway for the CIA to wage cyber wars against U.S. adversaries like Russia, China, and Iran, and Korea. The powers came via a secret 2018 order that has now come to light. So all the way back in 2018, right? In the midst of the Russiagate mayhem, and he's working with the CIA. Now, according to the Yahoo report, which is based on the testimonies of former U.S. officials with direct knowledge of the matter, a secret rule change issued by Donald Trump himself in 2018 allowed the CIA to circumvent the previous vetting process for cyber operations. Right? And of course, if you're supportive of Trump, well, it's all good because it's for freedom and he's fighting the deep state and that's the real thing, right? But the reality is this is more unverified, unvetted, this is a lack of accountability for one of the most this is one of the most unaccountable groups in the planet, as far as I'm concerned, the CIA, who now has the ability to launch cyber attacks without even the previous vetting process they had. And we're seeing the result of that right now. Do you not realize this is causing people's lives? Do we not care about the end? Well, I thought we were fighting for the Iranian people, right? But now we're killing them. It doesn't matter. As he says, previously proposed CIA cyber ops had to be rigorously vetted by the National Security Council, a process that might take months or even years. So even if they wanted, there was a whole process, at least we were told. However, once Trump gave the CIA the authority to vet its own proposals, doesn't that sound great? So the CIA is the one vetting their own things. So, hey guys, do you think this is, you know, a bad thing we shouldn't do? No, do it, right? Oh, great. So the CIA, it's like saying we investigated ourselves and we found ourselves not guilty. Do you think the CIA is gonna hold themselves to account? They never have. But here's Trump stepping in and giving them authority to do it without his approval. It says, cyber operations went from idea to approval in weeks. Trump wanted to push decision-making to the lowest possible denominator. You understand that means not him included. It says, quote, before you would need years of signals and dozens of pages of intelligence to show that this thing is a de facto arm of the government. Right. The point is you had to prove that these things, whether you're talking about, I don't know, the PMU or Soleimani himself, like the idea that these are OK, like this, that's their claim, right? The Houthis, Hezbollah, these are Iranian government entities. OK, well, under Trump's new deal with the CIA, they don't have to prove it anymore. As they said, you would previously have needed pages of intelligence and years of due diligence to prove that they were essentially the government. This is a former official speaking with Yahoo News. He says now, quote, as long as you can show that it vaguely looks like charity is working on behalf of that government, well, then you're good. So now an actual charity working for the Iranian government and maybe actually doing good things can now essentially be taken out with a cyber attack because Iran bad guy. And it vaguely fits into our narrative, right? The same government that just said imminent threat and lied about it. I'm sure this is going to apply, right? It vaguely looks like an imminent threat. Now, according to the official, the agency has used the authority given to it by Trump to carry out more than a dozen operations that were on its, quote, wish list. I'm sure we know who that's. I mean, who's on their wish list? It's the same people we're talking about today. Now it says, quote, this has been a combination of destructive things. Stuff is on fire and exploding. That's a direct quote. And also public dissemination of data, leaking or things that look like leaking, they said. The operations were directed against Russia, North South Korea, China, and especially Iran. I mean, for crying out loud, he's saying it right there. The official's saying it right there. These operations were directed at Iran, and yet we're staring at this stuff and we're acting like these are just Iranian mishaps. One, on one side, probably because a lot of them know this is happening, that these illegal attacks, but because they support Trump or whoever is doing it, they go along with it. Whereas the other side may just believe the lie that, oh, well, that's just Iranian bad guy. They probably don't know. They're probably so bad, they're just blowing things up, right? It just works because didn't your Pompeo say that they're stupid, right? It's just, even though they're wildly technologically advanced, like it's so crazy. But the whole point is that this was authorized by Donald Trump. They're carrying out cyber attacks right this moment on Iran, and they're blowing things up and they're attacking the country. This is an open war, and it's only happening like this, as flagrant as it is, because of coronavirus. Yet another agenda being forced in and allowed. And it's going to keep going, by the way, but apparently no one's going to care enough to point out the fact that Iran is under attack by Israel and the United States. But if you think that that just wouldn't happen, they'd never do that. Well, look, this is the most ridiculous example in this regard. That's not even about violence. This is not even about war or invasions or anything. This is Russia making a legal deal. Totally justified. There's nothing illegal about this. The whole narrative is that that Russia bad guy. So this normal pipeline is bad because they're doing something sneaky with it. That's actually what they're saying. Oh, so you have no proof that there's anything actually bad going on? No. Okay, well, the actual point is that they don't want Russia to actually get part of this market. They don't want Russia providing pipelines and gas and natural gas to Europe, because that's what the Nord Stream pipeline was going to do. Provide it's going to provide things at a far lesser cost because they're so much closer. But no, the U.S. government says, no, you can't do that, Germany and everybody else. Even though you're our ally, we're going to sanction you for doing this totally normal, legit deal with somebody with a better price who's closer, because Russia bad guy. And we're going to force you to buy our more expensive stuff because it benefits us, but it's only for freedom, right? It's because Russia bad guy and we're fighting for freedom, but we're going to force you to buy it. Does that sound like a democratic government fighting for freedom? Or does that sound like the actions of a mob, of a gangster mentality? Right? We're going to attack the person doing the thing, doing a business at a better price, at a more effective manner. So we're going to attack them, and then we're going to force you to buy our more expensive, more expensive product. Is that not mafia? Is that not what you do when you go to a business and you say, hey, you're going to buy this from us because we are the ones going to do it. We're going to beat you up if you don't. That's exactly what's happening. So here's the United States forcing Russia and Germany and everyone else involved to back away or be sanctioned from a very legal deal. Why? Because the U.S. government is trying to create unfair competition. And the only narrative they have is that because Russia, if they did this normal thing, well, we just know that they would do nefarious things with it. But you know what? That's not what you're allowed to do. You don't get to point to the hypothetical bad guy narrative that you've created based on lies and say, well, because of that narrative, well, they can't do this totally normal thing. But as they're saying, this is the use of political pressure for the sake of unfair competition. Except for raw power, they, the U.S. government, don't have any effective tools, and they really don't at this point, which is why they're desperate. They don't have any political clout anymore. Even their allies are seeing that they're floundering, but they're just forcing in their military power, which is what this is. Oh, well, you're going to make a deal with Germany and Russia, and we're not going to make the money? Well, we're going to sanction you then, right? Because that's totally justified. Now, it says earlier in the day, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo announced the decision to lift a provision that exempted the pipelines from the 2017 anti-Russian sanctions package. So they first put it on there because they knew that it was unjustified. But now because they see that the pipeline is going to go through anyway, they just remove it because, well, they'd rather look incompetent than criminal, right? As always. But this is just pretty hard. This is damn near criminal in itself. But it says it's a clear warning to companies that aiding and abetting Russian malign influence, according to Pompeo, he calls these Russian malign influence projects. aiding and abetting Russian malign influence projects will not be tolerated. So now it's Pompeo's choice whether or not you work with Russia or whether or not you work with any government that they don't agree with, and that won't be tolerated. So it's not even your choice. It's Pompeo and the U.S. government's dictator choice. They choose, right? That's exactly what it is. It will not be tolerated. That's called being the policeman of the world, exactly what they keep telling you they're never going to be while marching it further and further down the road. Now it says, get out now or risk the consequences. So not only did he say he won't be tolerated, he openly threatened his allies. Gee, I wonder why they don't like them anymore. He openly threatened Germany, saying they will face the consequences of doing this totally normal, completely justified, legal transaction. Now, it says it's all about punishing Russia for its alleged activities, such as the claimed interference in the 2016 election. So based on the lie that we know, one of the most fantastic lies in the history of this country, which has really set off an age of just the most ridiculous, the political scenes I've ever seen in my life. But the claim that Russia interfered in the election in 2016, that is one of the most debunked, verifiably false things I've seen. And that's what they're still basing this on. That because of that, they need to punish them for the thing back then, all the way back then. So ask yourself, why didn't they choose to punish them in 2017 or 18? Or 19. Oh, well, they choose to do it now because it just happens to apply in the moment because they don't want them to get this pipeline done. It's a catch-all. That's the point. Now, it says Washington has been particularly displeased with the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. Why? Because they're not getting what they want. They're not getting their cut, right? Repeatedly claiming that the multinational business project, that's the point, multinationals, not just Russia, there's all kinds of people involved, is, get this, actually a sneaky Russian tool to gain political sway. So they're not even saying it's illegal. They're just saying, well, they're trying to use a legal pipeline deal to gain political sway, and that's sneaky. Is that not politics? Is that not literally what this exactly is? Well, of course, because Russia does it now, it's, quote, sneaky and malign. That's pathetic. I mean, that is next level pathetic. And Pompeo, I mean, you know that I think he's pretty ridiculous, but this is outrageous to make it seem like this is some kind of sneaky act. And even he does not have the gumption to just straight up say it's illegal. They're doing this thing and Russia's trying to steal secrets or hack into you. No. He's just saying they're trying to gain clout. Oh, I didn't know that was illegal today. But apparently, according to the U.S. government, who always needs their cut and isn't allowed to be not included, can't stand when somebody else benefits. But to finish out today, something that I think is horrifying that you need to be aware of. I actually thought about starting with this today, but I want to make sure we're the most people were tuned in to see this. Saudi-led coalition cut from the U.N. blacklist of warring parties killing children. So the United Nations, under people like this guy right here, Mr. Guterres, who, if he's willing to remove this person's name, is 100% part of the problem. In fact, in my opinion, he's complicit with the seven children that were just murdered because he removed their name from the list. They removed their name from the list of countries that kill children in warring areas. While they're probably one of the most obvious leading examples of that. Not only that, there hasn't even been a decrease. So they're removing them just because it benefits the U.S. government. Does that not show you the kind of influence they have over people like Guterres? Now, understand that doesn't mean influence over the entire body, because there's all kinds of a bunch of nations, right? Hundreds of nations, all with their own opinions, a lot of them on the same page in a bad way, but there's a lot of them also that just have their own takes. But people like Blanchett and Guterres and these people that are part of the institution are completely co-opted, in my opinion. Completely. Removing them off the list. And then they kill children. All right, so wait, look, this is June 15th. The same day they kill children. Like, let that sink in. That your government, the U.S. government, controlling over the United Nations, is having them remove Saudi Arabia. The fact that they're on the Human Rights Council is insulting to the people that they're murdering, as well as you and myself. But then they remove them from the list of the thing that they're currently doing. And that same day, they kill 20 people, 20 civilians, 4 women, 7 children. Hussein al-Bukhari, on the ground in Yemen, the man who broke the story about the bomb that they used to kill the children in that bus that Jim Carrey made a cartoon about. And the only reason I'm saying that is so you understand this person is actively doing journalism on the ground and showing you what's really going on. And people could, I mean, it was got 27 likes, 38 shares. People don't care. And that's because of the social engineering and the manipulation, as well as the fact that political parties don't want to point this out because it doesn't look good for their candidate. Meanwhile, your government, you know, both sides of the two-party illusion, are continuing to be okay and allow the murder of children and the unjust killing of innocent people over and over and over, and the bombing of food supplies and the bombing of water supplies and the bombing of fishing vessels and the just in the most disgusting acts happening all around the world. Torture prisons being conducted by the UAE with the support and the guidance on site by the U.S. government, continuing to torture people and rape people and manipulate. I've covered all this stuff. All of it verified. And it keeps going. 20 civilians killed, 4 women, 7 children in a wave of Saudi UAE coalition strikes. Destroyed 3 homes, damaged 4 others. Yeah, in this completely civilian neighborhood. So let's pretend like they're, you know, attacking Houthi rebels or, you know, trying to bomb Al-Qaeda. Right. And meanwhile, they just are continuing to bomb domestic homes and then circling back and bombing when they try to come rescue those people, which is called double strikes, which they do over and over and over. Well, as he said, now this is blanked out. Okay. So they'll probably still try to censor me anyway, even though, you know, it's news reporting to be able to show what's happening. Right. Even though the media will do this and it doesn't happen. This is it's blurred out just so we're clear. But I promise they'll probably still try to censor the video anyway as just the excuse. It's just the one thing they'll grasp onto, probably for the other things we talked about today. But here it is. Casualties reached actually 26 dead. Think about that. Now this, and this is what he says. All these crimes came after they removed them from the list. So it's almost like they gave them the nod. Right? We removed you from the list of children murderers, even though Mohammed bin Salman, I wonder if this will pop up if I look for it. There's a great article. That was written by, I believe it was Whitney Webb. Yep, there it is. And this is the kind of disgusting thing. Oh yeah, it was Whitney Webb. So this is the kind of crazy thing that we're pointing to. That they can pretend and remove them from the list, and they're still even murdering children the same day. And they're removing them from that list as a nod to say that it's okay to continue. And this is the leader of their country in 2018, quoted saying that he wants Yemenis to shiver for generations when they hear Saudi Arabia vows to continue targeting children. Right. But it's fake news, right? Quoted. Look who he's sitting next to. Right? I mean, it's unreal. But the point is, it's continuing. And if you actually go through this and what, I mean, there's the, I don't want to accidentally show you something, but the video is here for you to watch. It's pretty gruesome. A bunch of children, some of them still alive, their legs blown off, all kinds of horrible things going on. This is happening right this moment on the ground. Where is your government? Oh, they're participating. Why? Well, because they tell you that Houthis are Iran. Well, why is Iran bad guy? Because they keep telling you that based on no information. So this abstract idea of going after Iran is translating into the starvation of an entire country and the continual murder of children facilitated by your government and people working with the international community. How disgusting does it need to be before people will actually take a stand? I'm hoping it may be the last straw. But on top of that, to end the show today, WikiLeaks also just reported the day before this that guess what? The UK, if you're living in the UK watching this show, your government is selling spyware and wiretaps to 17 repressive regimes including Saudi Arabia and China. Well, what do you know? I mean, isn't that just fantastic? So UK, who is an ally of the United States, who's clearly tied up in this UK COVID-19 illusion, is also selling wiretap and spyware devices to the very government that they pretend they're battling against in this whole narrative propaganda battle, as well as Saudi Arabia, who is right now murdering children. I mean, guys, are you going to wake up to the reality that it's all working together against you, or are we going to continue fighting each other? All right, that's a real question, because it's so damn clear that all this stuff is happening, and it's just time for us to wake the hell up and see what is just so clear in front of us. Hopefully, we reach some people today. But if not, I'll keep trying. Now, I did actually put a tweet out to end today, day before yesterday, and it's fun, a lot of you saw it, and I meant it. A lot of people, that day in particular, weirdly enough, but feeling very let down, very almost like, you know, like it's, I mean, part, in a way, it's kind of true that we almost feel like we've already lost. And we have already lost a lot because of the people who allowed the government to steamroll right over them while telling us that we were being irresponsible. Right? They'll never realize probably for the rest of their lives that they are the ones responsible for giving up our society. But we need to, we cannot, I mean, even myself, it comes to us all. And it's hard, you know. I mean, I didn't do a show for a couple of days. I put up some content, but I just needed to break away and get myself clear. But I realized that what's important is that we need to keep motivating each other. We need to keep inspiring each other. We need to keep seeing people like Ben Swan and cheering them on and showing them and sharing them in content. I mean, we need to support everybody because right now we're in a very, very dangerous spot where it's really easy to feel defeated, to get a defeatist mentality, to feel like we're not there. When in reality, we are so damn close, and that's why this is happening. If we simply realize that we have this power, we can effectively at least stop what's happening. Doesn't mean it won't continue in other ways, but we have that power if we simply see past the political illusions that are still hindering change. I know I say it all the damn time, but every time I say it, I mean it. It's just one more person, whoever it is out there watching right now, just light bulb, who finally saying, oh my God, I actually see what this is. You made this show a success. So go out and do it with somebody else. Find that one person. You know, the pay it forward of truth. Keep pushing it. I love you guys. Thank you for being here. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
Now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet. But it's not providing the perfect protection that people think